Howie, hey, Howie, hey, thank you for joining us.
We realized that we never, ever touched on a subject.
That topic would be your relationship with Carrie Hatcher in the Radio Shack commercials. Did you know her before you got married?
No one thinks Bradshaw and I are married, and he plays the same role as Don. You wouldn't be doing this if I was sitting there in that studio, would you?
The Don and Mike Show. Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara Show. Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara Show. That's 1-877-365-3636. They're ready to believe you.
I thought seriously about driving home one night. How easy it would be to take my little Mercedes convertible and stick it in that abutment on the side.
Everybody loves Don and Mike.
Where else would you rather be than right here, right now?
It's the Don and Mike Show, and they'll say what they wish. Now here it is. My favorite time of any broadcast day when I get to say, ladies and gentlemen, FedEx Field Stadium announcer, Philip Robert Jonathan Hochbergian.
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Rob Spiewak. Take it away, Rob.
Hey, partner.
Hey, partner.
Hey, partner.
Hey, partner, how you doing?
Great to be back, isn't it? Good afternoon, Mr. and Mrs. Gunslinger and all the ships at sea. Hey, remember this. Women love their penises. Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
You don't mean women love their penises. You mean women love our penises.
Your guys, is you, my partner, you love their penises. They love you. You know what I mean.
I know, partner.
Thank you, partner.
Hello, and thank you for listening, everybody. New episode, of course, and it's Monday.
Monday,
July 17. Phone number same as it ever was.
Same as it ever was.
877-365-3636.
All right.
Brand new episode. This show will be peppered with your telephone calls. You know, I'm going to try not to start the show.
You have had a rough beginning to this program. I've been observing you in the studio,
bitching about this new studio.
Everything's a little discombobulated again today.
Yeah, I come in and none of the microphones are hooked up correctly.
Right.
You know, I'm sorry, even though we don't keep strict tabs on the time, have you noticed the clock on the wall?
Oh, dear.
It's gone. There's no clock.
It's missing.
We have no way of telling what time it is in here.
It's not missing. It works. It's sitting on the floor, and it doesn't have anything to support it on the wall, so I hooked it up, and it was running, but you can't put it up on the wall. We don't have anything to hook it up with.
There's no nail in the wall. However, you know, as I look around, I guess...
It does look good.
They did fix the big, gigantic holes where there were parts of exposed asbestos and stuff in the studio.
They did. And they cleaned the windows.
Yes, that's a first. In the 9 years we've been working here...
Look at this.
This is maybe the first time... God damn, look at that buzz.
Is that amazing? I've never been able to see buzz that clearly.
When you consider the dirt that used to be on this window, it's clear today. I can see you guys for the first time in 9 years.
And not just the dirt on the surface. They actually did it in between
the layers of glass.
How many panes of glass are there? What are there?
Three.
Three altogether.
Mm-hmm. Well, listen, there are some things that are right and some things that are wrong.
Yeah. It is where they have the soundproof wall covering up, it is nice.
nice to see. Really. And it does sound better in this studio now.
We are missing, however, I don't know if you see it over here, there's still one gigantic panel of wall.
And do you see underneath Buzz? see that one?
Yeah, right. So I take it back. There's still a couple of panels of wall that still have to be put into the studio.
Yeah, but of course, when we were up in New York, wasn't it the other day that somebody was saying it was going to be done at the end of August?
Yeah.
And that's when I got mad.
So I guess they are ahead of schedule a little bit.
And I have another question for you. I was observing this studio as you were trying to get everything working here. I'm looking up this track lighting we have in here, which is all well and good. Isn't that track lighting from, like, the 70s? Isn't track lighting now much smaller lamps and much smaller, like, modern-looking, clean, super-modern-looking lights?
Yeah, these are awful. These are like laugh-in lights that we have here.
They're huge. They look like they ought to be on the set of some sort of television show.
I'll tell you exactly what these lights are. These are French fry lights. And if you're under one of them, they will keep you warm, and you can be sold for up to 2 hours after you've been cooked. But they are. They're like 150-watt bulbs, and they shoot right on you.
The only reason I mention that is they've spent so much money on this new studio. What I was thinking, the look of the new ones, of the new track lights, are so much nicer.
So modern.
They give off such nicer light, and I just think if they want to, I don't know how much that would cost, but it would seem to me that would be just a drop in the bucket compared to everything else they've spent.
Well, you can ask the engineers if they ever get back. There's no engineer in the house right now.
I'm not, with all the things the engineers are having to deal with now, I don't ask them the little stuff. Maybe around Christmas time if we still have these big bulky lights, but it looks so nice in there, and then I look inside the rim of our track lights, and you see the years of spooge and filth inside of those.
And don't forget, the vacationing Dan Ryson still owes you a favor.
That's right, he does. Yep. Correct, from that day that he was pulled over by the cop for speeding.
But I'm sure you've got a shopping list a little longer than just my little old track light.
So listen, hello everybody, and welcome to the show. Say what you will about the crappy studios that we are forced to work in. Say what you will about the level of management. In fact, say what you will about myself, Mike, Buzz, or Rob. Say all of that. But you can never say that we pay somebody to call with fake bits on this show.
We've never done that.
Never.
Never will.
We've never done that.
Never.
Never done.
There's a very famous disc jockey. You know, when it goes bad, it goes bad.
It's very bad. All at once.
There's a famous disc jockey. The big story in the news, well, you know who it is. It's the guy whose name we can say on every station except NEW.
Mm-hmm. Right.
That this guy apparently had a guy call his show about a month ago, a very controversial caller where the guy said... I actually heard the bit. The guy said, I'm killing cats. I get my nut off by killing cats. And as it turns out...
I remember when I heard it, I thought it was actually BS. I thought it was some guy that was lying.
Yeah.
You know, because it turns out maybe he wasn't that good an actor.
But as it turns out, the guy was an actor.
Oh, my God.
And there's a big story in the LA newspaper saying that this guy was paid $200. To call a radio show and act like an idiot.
That's not right.
You know, so say what you will about our surroundings, say what you will about us, say what you will, but at least we don't pay anybody for this crap.
No, absolutely. You know, we rely on our giant pool, our cesspool, if you will.
All the dopes you hear calling this show today.
Sure.
We're not paying them one red cent to call this show.
Good.
And listen, and of course, that whole thing with that disc jockey, that's from New York. We got to spend an extra night in New York.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Because whenever it rains, they close down the New York airports.
Yeah, my train was overcrowded with you flying people.
they
shut down, I guess, every airport in New York City.
We actually had a pretty nice night.
Very nice.
Buzz and Rob and I and little Italy.
You know, what's funny is, I know that you were thinking that it might happen because there were thunderstorms all over the area. But I look at Don and I'm like, so was Charlie with you guys? And Don looks at me and goes, no, I thought Charlie was with you.
Right.
And then we suddenly realized nobody knew
where Charlie Broyhill was.
Where Charlie Broyhill, the last member of our crew, was. And we still don't know where Charles Loring Broyhill was on Friday night.
And, of course, I would be remiss if I didn't tell you that it was a good night out on Friday night because there was a nasty fall.
Oh, dear.
All right, which one of the merry crew?
Guilty.
You took a little tumble?
Right here. Well,
you had a little Chianti with your Italian meal?
No, the boys had Chianti.
Mm-hmm. Ah, yeah, I know what you had.
And
okay.
I had the old standby. as it turns out, we were sitting in this restaurant, Little Italy, on Friday night, and the chairs that they gave us, I'm going to blame it on the chair.
Yeah, no, you're right about that.
You're right. These chairs were very cheap, like the type of chairs that you would put out by a pool.
Okay, like plastic chairs.
They have that plastic bendy stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A lot of the chairs in Little Italy are like that on the street.
And I had walked away for a moment to make a phone call and came back and sat down and the chair just kind of folded underneath me.
Oh, really?
And the next
must
thing
have caught
you know,
it in a bad angle.
The next thing you know, boom, I'm on the ground.
It was quite a sight, and it seemed that it occurred in slow motion. And as Don went down backwards in the chair...
The chair did actually, you're right, Buzz, it kind of...
Folded under you.
It tilted back, and for a moment, I was actually balancing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's the only way that chair couldn't collapse, but you probably just kind of leaned into it, and then the whole problem
and
started.
And God bless Rob, who reached out to save Don and was pulled down with him. So suddenly they were both down on the sidewalk in front of this Italian
I've
cafe.
Always said, God bless Rob. Just on general principle.
A nasty fall, but I think I rebounded from it nicely because I stood up, everybody turned around, and I got some applause, and I gave some kisses to the crowd.
Yeah.
And, our waiter, Giovanni.
Oh, he's great.
Who looked just like goddamn Jerry Vail.
Really?
Yeah. He came over. Great. Are you all right?
Little white hair.
Are you all right?
Really? Jerry Vail.
Got a big, might as well have been a car emblem hanging around his neck. Looked like one of the gangster rappers. This guy had this gigantic thing around his neck.
Yeah. Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Big Italian guy.
Well,
great.
I missed
guy.
You guys on the train because they closed all the airports on my train. There was a sitting room in the aisles. Everybody was there. It was that crowded. I've never seen the train that crowded with everybody. And apparently, the way I understood it, the whole East Coast on Friday night traveling was paralyzed. As a matter of fact, it was a horrible weekend for everybody traveling along the East Coast because of thunderstorms and flight cancellations. I was at Dulles picking up my nephew yesterday, and it was absolutely nuts. You know, it's when you're not traveling anywhere, though, you can witness other people having the meltdowns. I mean, I was nervous. I was uptight because his plane was delayed and delayed. But watching the other people, like they have a guest services desk for one of the airlines, and you see people just standing in line, and you hear
why can't we then?
And then when his plane finally came in, I'm standing outside, and this plane was a plane that was, I think, I was supposed to leave at 3 o'clock, and at 11 minutes after 7 o'clock, the plane finally came in.
Ooh.
And the two pilots come off first, followed by this woman who I can best describe her as looking like a combination of Miss Hathaway and a linebacker. She was so angry, and I couldn't hear because the glass door was shut, and on the other side of it, you see her going, and the pilot is trying to, he's using his little
card
trying to get away from her, to open up the door. Then he takes his hat off, and he looks inside of the hat to see what the code is because he can't get the door open, and he finally opens the door, and this woman comes out, and all she says is, idiots! Oh, idiots! And she goes storming off. It was, it's been really a little tough for people traveling by
Italy. Our flight back on Saturday morning, as it turns out, the 8:30, the 9:30, and the 10:30 flights were all canceled. So we managed to get on the only plane that was leaving New York Saturday morning, coming back to D.C., left at about 11 o'clock on Saturday morning, and it was absolutely jam-packed. It was like, you know, I say this all the time, but really, it was like a cattle car. It
right.
was just
it was.
Awful. And we're waiting for everybody to get on the plane, and it was very full, and there were just a couple of single seats that were left.
Right.
So at one point, the waiter...
There you go.
I'm not going to call him a waitress this time, but the waiter comes down, and he
says... You're
going
to have people spitting in your Diet Coke pretty soon.
The waiter comes down, and he says, okay, now... Or actually, no, he said it like this. Okay. Here's the deal. The plane's not going to be able to take off
right.
until we get a mother and her baby who are waiting outside to get on. So they need to sit together because the baby's going to be in a baby seat. So what I need is... someone who will give up their seat so that they can move somewhere else and the mother and the baby can sit next to each other.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm hearing this from behind me. And, of course, there was an empty seat next to me.
Right.
But I'm not turning around to offer up the empty seat. I don't even want to make eye contact with this waiter because I don't want to be the one to give up the seat. Well, behind me I hear, of course, you know, Captain Courteous, I hear Buzz say, I'd be glad to. So at that point, I turned around, you know, gave Buzz a reassuring look like, you know, that's why you are who you are.
Good man, Buzz.
And that's why I am who I am. So as it turns out, Buzz was going to move to the seat directly behind me.
Okay.
Okay, these two people sitting behind me, Muffy and Buffy.
Right.
These two people, all I hear is Buzz come up. Now, keep in mind, Buzz has offered to move his seat.
Right.
So a woman and a baby can sit together on the airplane.
Right. Way to go.
And this is the only flight that's leaving.
Think about it. You got 125 people on this plane, right?
Yeah. At least.
There's been a three-hour delay for this flight. Buzz is the only guy who had the balls to say, I will move so that we can all take this plane that was supposed to leave 3 hours
ago. Right.
So I hear Buzz working his way up the aisle, and as it turns out, there's an empty seat right behind me. There's this young yuppie couple that are sitting in the other two seats. I hear Buzz come up to the seat behind me, and all I hear is Buzz's voice. You know, very rare when Buzz gets pissed,
right.
But he was pissed because all I heard was Buzz say, why, yes. Yes, I am sitting here.
Biff, in the center seat, says to me, you're going to sit here? And I said, yes. Yes, I am. Now, this disappointed him because they give away, they have a long line of free magazines at LaGuardia for Delta Shuttle flyers to pick up on their way. And this guy had picked up every free gosh darn magazine they had to offer and had a stack of magazines a foot, foot and a half high sitting in the seat that I was about to occupy. That's why he was annoyed.
Oh, God.
And then as the plane finally took off, we're sitting in front of Buzz. We're listening to the conversation of the people behind us, the guy who didn't want to give up his seat for his stack of free magazines. And she was, they had to be, how old were they, Buzz?
Mid-20s.
Yeah,
25.
Mid-20s maybe. She was kind of hot, and he was kind of a nerd.
Right.
And the conversation went a lot like this. Oh, you're so brave and so strong. I hope nothing happens to our plane. You're so handsome.
Oh, God.
You're
really?
So yeah. Successful.
Oh, my God.
There's nothing to worry about, dear. Say, look at this Ferrari in this magazine. Do you know this automobile costs $200,000? Unless, of course, you want to go directly to Italy, then you could buy it for $175,000.
And then he says to her, Ferraris aren't like other cars.
This guy was a king dick.
Oh, God.
And I kept trying to turn around to make some kind of eye contact with Buzz,
right.
To, like, give him a nonverbal...
That you're acknowledging this conversation as well.
This right. guy is just a king prick, this guy that was sitting next to Buzz.
Know-it-all guy knows everything about the world.
Well, no, this guy, who was obviously, he was flipping through some of the myriad of free magazines he had
right.
received
sure.
in the terminal, and as he was going through everything, you know, this guy was going, ah, yes, oh, the south of France. That's a delightful place to vacation, to spend time. And meanwhile, she's, like, rubbing his arm and going, oh, I hope nothing happens to this plane. Nothing to worry about, my dear. I'm here to take care of it. Thank God you're here.
Oh, my God.
They were
oh,
two,
God, kill him.
They were two of the sickest, phoniest people.
Kill him.
And I was so glad. First, I was glad that Buzz gave up his seat, so I didn't have to. Even, right. And even more so, that it was Buzz that wanted to sit down next to this guy.
The guy sounds like a king dink.
I had no idea till I sat there.
Next to this prick on the airplane. So we make it back. We got back on Saturday. And the weekend, I got some stuff that's good and some stuff that's not good from the weekend. I'll give you something good from my weekend.
Okay.
That the family and I went to see X-Men.
Yeah, and how'd you like it?
Kicked ass.
I heard good things about that movie.
Yeah, of course I would like it because it's a comic book movie, but it's really... an excellent comic book movie.
How's Halle Berry in it?
She's all right. You know, she's there. She's there. The movie is really Cyclops and Cyclops' girlfriend and Wolverine.
Sorry.
And Jean-Luc Picard.
I was commenting on the hot babe in it. It's funny. You sounded almost like a real comic book guy that time.
Well,
I said, how do you like that?
She was okay. She got in the way of all the explosions, well, major things that were in the movie. Well, she has a wig on, and she doesn't show her body off very much.
Oh, you don't see a lot of cleavage?
No. You see Rebecca Romijn Stamos, who is...
She's like a lizard, isn't
yeah, who
she?
Is painted blue for this... You know, why Rebecca Romijn Stamos thinks that this is an acting job is beyond me, because she doesn't speak one word in the entire movie.
Mm-hmm.
Not one word. Now, she is virtually naked, you know,
right.
wearing body paint and stuff.
Yay.
All she ever does is look at the camera and open her mouth and just, you know, show her teeth.
Really? I'd pay to see that.
Yeah. No, it was an excellent movie.
One Picard of the was good?
Picard is excellent as Professor Xavier.
Good.
One of the few times, you know, I always got a bitch about a movie or complaint. When we got up, Freedom Bart both said to me, well, you know, they're waiting for the other shoe to drop.
Right.
Well, and I said, out. Outstanding. Loved the X-Men.
And I heard that you don't have to dig the comic book to enjoy it, too.
No.
That you just, it's a good movie.
It has nothing to do... I mean, it's loosely based on the comic book.
Right.
But yeah, no, I'm sure you'd like it.
Good.
It's real good. So that was That was a highlight. Now, conversely, I will give you
a low light.
A low light. And then I have many, many comparisons from the weekend.
So you're giving us the very best and very worst, okay. And then what's in between.
That was a great moment. This was a bad moment. This morning when I got up, we were at Ocean City this weekend at our place there. And I got up this morning, and my wife said, there's a problem with the plumbing. And I said, what's the problem? And she said, well, some of the toilets are backed up. And I went, okay, didn't give it much thought. Until a couple of minutes later when I heard, coming from the toilet in the bathroom, a blub, 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 blub. Then I hear a scream from the garage. I go out to the garage. Now, in our garage, we've got a wash sink. You know, a lot of people have those in their garage, right?
Yeah, right.
Well, the wash sink is filling up.
With sewage?
It is not filling up with water.
Oh,
it is filling up with sewage.
Oh.
It is, and by the time I got to the garage, it is now seeping over the edge.
Ooh.
And dripping all over the floor in the garage. There is sewage that is coming up. Apparently what's happened is, and I found this out because I talked to the plumber today.
Are you on a septic tank?
No, we have a holding tank. The holding tank.
Hey, holding.
It's full. It's full.
that would be a key.
It's full. The first plumber that came over took a look. First, as soon as he walked in the door, he said, oh, that's a problem. And I said, yeah, the whole house, you know, smells like excrement.
Is it coming up through the toilets too?
Yes, yes. There were bits of little bits of of all of us. In the toilets, in the washer where we wash our clothes, and I turned on the tap in the bathroom.
Yeah.
Little bits of brown came in there also.
Oh, my God.
And it's a mess. So the guy says to me, you know what? I'm not the right guy for this job. The plumber who came, he said, you're going to need to call so-and-so, you know, which is something akin to Roto-Rooter. He says, you're going to have to get the holding tank fill. He says, let me show you. He says, do you know where the holding tank is? And, of course, I'm, you know, the dumb guy. I said, nope. He said, well, come here. I'll show you where it is. So he takes me by the side of the house, and there's this big white, like, nozzle thing that's sticking out of the ground.
Yeah, a little PVC.
Right.
Yeah.
So what he does is he takes his pair of pliers, and he just undoes the top rung on this nut and bolt thing. Just one turn, and all of a sudden,
water coming out?
It starts spewing out all over the place. And, of course, I ran away. I mean, I ran, 5 feet away. But he bravely stood
your
there.
Your hands up by your shoulders. No!
I mean, come on. It's SHI water.
Oh, my God.
He stood there with this stuff spraying all over him. And very manly, he got his wrench back out, his pliers back out, and he screwed the top back down to where all of the stuff. And now at this point, this is a white tube thing that's sticking out of the ground. It looks like someone has been drinking a chocolate milkshake because there's brown all the way around the sides of it.
So your tank or whatever, I've never heard of a holding tank. It's like a capacity.
Yeah, it's absolutely 100% full.
God.
So then he was standing there, and I realized the guy, at this point, I look at this guy.
It's time for a change of clothes.
I mean, he's got it all over him.
Oh, my God.
He's got it on his hat. He has little brown specks on his face.
Oh, no.
He has it on his shirt, on his arms, on his legs.
Doing his job.
Yeah. And I said, would you like to get cleaned up? And he said, nah, I'm used to this. He went out to his truck, just got a towel, wiped himself off, so to speak.
Wow.
And then came and gave me the name of some other guy to call. And then I had the pleasure of walking the next plumber through this, saying, hi, listen, don't know an awful lot about this, but all I know is I turned on the tap, and I'm getting poops coming through my tap water. My toilets are bubbling. There's crap in my washer. And in our sink in the garage, it's full of human excrement. And the guy immediately said, it's your holding tank.
Yeah.
I'll be out shortly.
So was that all? Was it just whoever was supposed to drain? Do you have to have a guy come out with the big suction thing and put it in the back of a truck every couple of weeks or something?
I had to leave to come to work. I don't know how the story ends.
So your wife's down there, and she'll know the result of this.
No,
huh?
She should be. She's back. We left it.
Your house is now down there, just floating on a pile of waste.
We left it in my mother-in-law's hands.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's a great job for her, huh? We said, listen, we've all got to go back.
Wow.
You know, so you handled this. So that was a low. Now I'll give you another high from the weekend.
Medium high, though, not as high as the X-Men, right?
No, this was a good high from the weekend.
Okay.
This is actually not a high. I guess I don't have any more highs from the weekend.
Oh, no.
I guess all I have is lows left from the weekend.
I'm sorry. That's pretty low, though, the bubbling crude.
Yeah. Well, I did go out on a bike ride with my wife yesterday because she's got me back on my fitness kick again. And for that, I'm grateful. But, you know, I found out yesterday that going for a bike ride with my wife is much like driving with my wife. That
right.
She said that she had a certain route that she wanted us to take through this residential neighborhood, mm-hmm. so we would avoid main roads. We could get a nice bike ride in together. So we were riding, and we would get up to a stop sign, and she would say, okay, now go right here. And I'd say, okay. I'd make a right-hand turn. I'm pedaling my way along. And I'd say, oh, no, I'm sorry. It was left. Go left. So I would turn around, and I'd pedal back to her. She'd go, okay, now when we get up to this street right up here, we want to go left, because that will cut us through this development and put us right back where we want to go. As soon as we go left, we get about halfway. She goes, oh, it's a wrong street.
Right.
Turn around and go the other. I mean, that's pretty much all
we
did.
You're following her. You're, yeah. You're puppy-dogging her throughout the whole
Well,
ride.
No, actually, because she would ride her bike so slowly, what I would do is I would get in front of her, and I would hear her yell out behind me, go left! Go left!
Okay, so you're leading the way.
So I would go left, and I would start going down the road that we're starting to be going down, and then I would hear from behind me, no, it wasn't left, it was right. Don't go left, it was right. So I would ride back there, and finally I said, this is just like riding in a car with my wife, but she really doesn't know where we're going,
right.
But she wants to say that she knows where we're going, and she does that all the time. We're driving together. We'll be driving, as we're driving past the road, she goes, oh, that's where we should have turned.
Mm-hmm.
So that was... That was the whole exercise with her.
But you're exercising, that's good,
yeah.
And you're enjoying it.
Yeah, it was left, right, left, right, left, left, right.
You'd rather just, like, get on the bike and sprint ahead and have her follow. And
just go.
Let the chips fall where they may.
Right.
You know, if you end up in somebody's holding tank, that's okay.
So that was good. That I would categorize that, even with all the left, right stuff, is good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Now, here's something that's bad. And please, no laughter about this. Okay?
Hey, all right.
Please?
I promise.
No laughter.
I see when you tell me that, I'm like a 3-year-old, because, I mean, you say that and then I begin to think it's funny. All right, go ahead.
We almost had to put Brandy down today.
Oh, the dog.
The dog.
I'm not going to laugh about that.
Yeah.
I like Brandy. I've always liked Brandy. I've always been fond of Brandy coming over and playing poker at your house and stuff like that.
The decision had to be made today whether to put her down or not.
Well, that's too bad.
And took her to the vet. That's what my wife was doing this morning when I was dealing with the crap coming out of the water faucet. Because, you know, Brandy, the dog, we farmed her off to my in-laws, and I guess she's not doing much better.
Mm-hmm.
And Frida took her to the vet today, and that way, at one point, I got the call. That was the decision. Mm-hmm. You know, do you pull the plug, or do you let the dog get a shot and see how she's doing? So, then they made the decision to obviously not to put her down just yet.
That's so sad.
So she is
such a drag. When
she is still with us.
That's a drag. I mean, when dogs go like that, it's,
yeah.
You know, you almost wish it was like, you know, dog be like sprinting out there one day and it just put its paw up to its chest and just go over and instead of suffering, you know.
I'm very, very sick.
I don't know, Dodd. I just, on behalf of all the other Springer Spaniels of the world, I'd like to say I'm very happy you spared my life today.
So that started as a down, but ended as an up, right?
There you go.
So we're going to have to deal with a dead dog, but as it turns out, the dog is still with us.
Yeah. Good.
Now I'll give you another one that's kind of an up and kind of a down. Mm-hmm. I don't know how to react to this one. Mm-hmm. Over the weekend, when we were in Ocean City, we were all in the car together, the three of us, and we turned on our radio station in Ocean City. And as they were going to play a commercial set, we heard a commercial come on, and Bart said, oh, Dad, turn the radio up. You're going to love this commercial. And it was for the paintball place in Ocean City,
mm-hmm.
which I've been to twice.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Twice. Well, they're running this commercial, and it says, paintball on US 50. Don Geronimo from the Don and Mike Show and his son are regular players at OC Paintball.
Oh, my God.
And I heard it, and I got pissed.
Yeah.
And Bart had the opposite reaction. Bart had heard the commercial before. And
thought it was cool.
Yeah, thought it was cool and thought that we should immediately go to the paintball place, announce who we were, and see if we could play for free.
It's the least they can do.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's so no one obviously from this paintball place, when you visited, had ever mentioned the fact that they might be using you in their radio commercial.
No, they didn't. But Bart thought it was very cool, so, you know, what the heck. So we were driving down the road, we were talking about that, and then...
Pretty funny, though.
And you should hear the
you get there, and there's like a cardboard cutout of you and your son in camis, you know? Just sitting there, you know, it's like every gun's got a picture of you on it.
And a commercial is typical, you know, small market,
right,
quality
right.
commercial.
Don Geronimo from the Don and Mike Show and his son are regular players at OC Paintball.
And I had the same reaction to you.
I see your thumb going up in the air going, yeah.
I had the same reaction to you. I said, you know, that's not right.
No, it is.
That I have been there, but I am not endorsing that place. And meanwhile, Bart thought it was just, you know, the greatest thing. Ever.
You've talked about that place pretty fondly. I know that.
No, it is a nice place.
Probably why they got a little overzealous and decided to use that.
I'm sure they did. And then here's a downer, okay? That was a mediumer. Mm-hmm. So right after that conversation, Bart said, Dad, let's go now. Let's play paintball now. I said, no, I don't feel like it. Tell you what, maybe, you know, how about next weekend or the weekend after? And then he said, no, you can't because I forgot. I mean, I knew, but I put it out of my mind. He's going to Spain.
He's going to Spain.
My kid's going to Spain for a month. He's doing this exchange program.
Yep.
Well, thank God we don't have to have some Spanish kids staying with us.
Right.
But he's going to actually go to Spain for a month.
A lot of kids, you know, nowadays do that. They go over to foreign countries during the summer, and it's wonderful. It's a great program.
It's a thing through a school where he actually goes and he lives with a Spanish family.
Right.
For a month. And all they do is speak Spanish.
Mm-hmm.
All the time, and I mean, there are some classes or some junk he's supposed to do when he's there, but it just hit me. I haven't spent an exorbitant amount of time with him already because he's got this job
right
that he's been working at, where he's working like double shifts and everything, and all of a sudden it just hit me. It was like, wow,
your playmate's going
right. You're gone.
Your buddy's going to be gone for a month.
Gone for a whole month.
But it'll give you a chance to do more biking.
Yeah.
Bonding with your wife.
Thank you, Mike.
You're welcome.
So that's kind of a downer, although he's very excited about the trip. And
it'll be, you know, I don't think there's any better way to learn a language than being thrown into an environment where you have to speak it all the time.
You know, God knows he's not getting that from my genes, mm-hmm. because if it was me, you know me, I hate leaving America ever.
You have always been an isolationist, and I think that your politics have always stood up for the American way and building the wall around the United States so that no one can get into the country, but more importantly, the people that are here stay.
And furthermore, I mean, maybe I'd want to go visit a foreign country, but there's no freaking way I'd ever want to live with strangers speaking another language for 30 days.
Think how ahead of the game he's going to be then.
Yeah,
internationally.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
I know, and he's excited about it, but I, you know, I'm down about that.
I know you are.
I'm just a little down about that. And then Big Brother. I do have a Big Brother update for you. Again, I'm the only guy in the world.
You're the only one watching this.
That watches Big Brother, but I want to tell you that I'm hooked on that show.
Uh-huh.
I watched it on Saturday where they had the replay of everything that happened during the week.
Right.
Okay. The black guy, William.
Yes.
William.
Who was a controversial figure, right, along with the roofer.
Uh-huh. Listen what he did. He's a prick.
Yeah, I'm afraid so.
Listen to what this guy did. They had a challenge where they had a list of celebrities, and they were supposed to decide between the 10 people in the house who's dead and who's alive. And they bet a certain amount of their food for the week on this. So they all worked on this all week long, and they came up with the list. And when it was time for them to answer, each person, one at a time, goes through. They were all relatively easy, dead or alive.
Now, when they bet their food, are they betting that if they lose the bet, is the food just taken away?
It's a part of their allowance, part of the money that they can spend on food.
Okay, they can bet a percentage, like 20% or 50%. They chose 20.
So they'll be able to buy less food if they lose the bet.
Right, okay.
Right, and if they won, they would be able to buy
more food. Right.
So they go through all 9 people, and they finally get to this guy, William.
William.
And they gave, the first name they gave him is Mean Joe Green. Mm-hmm. And he looks at it and he goes, he's dead. And then I thought, boy, this guy's kind of stupid. Then the next one was like Kathy Griffin. And he goes, she's dead too. And then it became apparent what he was doing.
Was he doing it just to work them?
He was doing it on purpose, and here's why. He was mad because the night before, some of them were having a get-together in the living room, and he couldn't sleep. And because they were keeping him awake, he decided that he would just F with them.
Wow.
And he would lose the contest on purpose.
And it may have been partly his revenge for being one of the two people voted out of the house by the rest of the group.
So the way the episode ended on Saturday night was the one-legged guy was sitting outside with the roofer.
Yeah.
And they were talking about what a dick William is.
Mm-hmm.
And then William came out and sat down. And William and the one-legged guy, they got into it.
Oh, really?
I mean, they were each dropping the F-bomb and said, well, listen, man, you effing, you're not part of this effing team. You effing don't know what you're effing doing. No, listen. And then William would look right at the one-legged guy and go, I got a plan. I know what I'm doing. I got a method to my madness. If I'm going to be the first one voted off this island.
Right.
I'm going to be the first one voted out of here. The next 5 days are going to be pure hell.
Well,
you know, I mean, he set himself
when
up.
When do we find out who gets voted out? When
Thursday.
Thursday.
Really?
Thursday.
Set himself up as a real villain on this.
That's amazing, though. Mm-hmm. See, do you think he wants to be voted out? I mean, all of his behavior that you've described, and I haven't watched the show, but I've been listening to what you're saying, all of his behavior sounds like he wants to be voted out of the house. He really wants to just be out of there, and this is the same thing. I mean, even if you were ticked off, wouldn't you want to, and you know that you have to get along with the group in order to stay, don't you think you'd be a little cooler?
The other nine hate him. Right. At one point, they had their one-week anniversary, and they were all called into the Red Room, where they said, Big Brother has a gift for you, mm-hmm. and it was all this food and wine and beer and stuff,
mm-hmm.
and it was just the nine of them in there.
Right.
William was sleeping at that point, because remember, he'd been kept up the night before.
Right.
So they took all the food and all the beer outside and just had a party without him.
Oh,
and they're like all clinking their glasses and stuff, saying, hey, right. this is great. Thank you, Big Brother. And then they show, and they cut to the shot of William waking up.
Right.
In his bedroom, where he goes, he puts a Scooby-Doo hat on, comes outside, and he just stands there for a second, and his jaw just kind of drops while he sees that while he's been sleeping and nobody's bothered to wake him up,
right.
they're all getting bombed and eating all this great food.
Well, it sounds like maybe there's a little more drama in that show than we've been talking about.
Oh, you should give it a chance.
I will. I'm going to try to watch it.
Give it a chance. I'm hooked on that.
That's good.
And sad to say, that's another up from my weekend.
That's a good part of the weekend.
That's an up from my weekend. I think that's all I have for you.
Mm-hmm.
That was it.
But it sounds like it was a good weekend,
yeah,
for all.
You know, topped off by the dog nearly dying and, you know, crap coming out of the water faucet today.
Mm. That's pretty cool.
Other than that, you know, it was an average weekend. And I got to spend a great Friday night in New York with my buddies.
There you go.
Great. Oh, and Carlos, where were you?
Incidentally.
Yeah, where were you, Charlie?
Where were you, Charles Boyle?
At which time?
On Friday night.
Let's say 8:30.
I was on the train.
Which train were you on?
The one that left at 8:50.
Okay, the one after mine.
Yes.
Yeah, okay. All right. Yeah, they were talking about that one. That was crowded, too, I guess, huh?
Not really.
Really?
No, not so much.
Okay, so I guess
so
everybody
much.
Was on a... Did you crawl into the station because the signal lines were out? Did that slow you up at all?
No, we got in at 12:15.
Really?
Yeah.
What time did your train get in?
Midnight.
Really?
And yours left like an hour earlier?
Yeah. Like an hour and 10 minutes. Or, no, but it was 10 minutes late, so it left exactly 1 hour. 1 hour before yours did. And yours got in at 12:15.
Mike did at one point because all the lightning and junk.
They said we're coming out of the BWI Airport Railroad Station, the Baltimore Washington Airport.
Because it was raining too much?
No, the signals that tell the train where to go went out. We're knocked out by thunder and lightning.
By thunder and lightning.
And they had to go 15 miles an hour.
Oh.
So, well, I'm glad he sped up because your train would have hit us.
We were coming up on you.
Your train would have crawled right up our caboose and knocked us off the track.
And did you see this weekend?
Probably not.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah.
Goodbye. I wasn't really talking to you. It was kind of a rhetorical, did you see?
See you later. Now, do that later. I won't look.
Just what's he doing?
He's futzing with the computer over here.
I want you to be able to see who's on hold.
Oh, all right. He has to turn. Okay.
Very good.
Can I see? Is anybody on hold?
Very clever, boys.
I don't see anything. Listen, there were two great instances of nudity and sports over the weekend.
Yes.
The first was in Kansas City.
What happened?
During the Cubs and Royals game.
Yeah.
Some guy jumped out of... See? Now, that's why you can't have the computer on during the show.
What?
What? You were just peeking at it.
No, I was just... I was looking to see if he was done. No. I'm not an 8-year-old with that kind of attention span. You know what?
You are, though.
What?
You are.
There's nothing on the screen for me.
There's nothing here. Go ahead. Shut it off. You don't have to unplug it like you did last time. Just shut it off.
Did he unplug it before?
I unplugged it and it worked.
You can't.
I wasn't bright enough to figure out that he'd unplugged it. And I'm sitting there looking on the on-off switch.
Okay. I'm watching the Cubs and the Royals.
Right.
And they pull away from a second. They say, oh, ladies and gentlemen, they just went to a shot of people in the stands. They said, that's awful. There's no call for that. We're not going to show that. So I'm trying to figure out what's going on. I get on the internet. It turns out a naked guy jumped out of the stands in Kansas City, ran on the field, and slid into second base. In the middle of the Cubs and the Royals game.
Slid into second.
Slid in, belly slide.
That's too funny.
Naked, then stood up and went, thank you, thank you.
Wasn't any alcohol at play there. Hope he had a bet with his buddies.
Okay, and the other great nudity story was in Toronto, where, you know, they have that hotel.
Yeah.
Right by the Sky Dome.
Sure.
Okay.
Famous hotel for extracurricular activities going on during the game.
There are these strippers, and they're in a room in the hotel.
Right.
And they made signs that say, go Blue Jays rule. And they put these big signs covering the window, the signs that face the stands, saying, go Blue Jays. Well, about halfway during the game, they take the signs down, they turn the signs over, they're promoting a strip club, and these four girls hang their gigantic boobs out the window in the middle of the baseball game, actually made some of the players stop what they were doing to look at the boobs. And it was family day at the ballpark.
Oh, my God.
How fantastic is that?
I'll tell you right now, that is the one ballpark in all of baseball that I'd like to see, just to see the layout of that. Because, I mean, this is the same ballpark where people have been observed
right.
making whoopee while the game's going on.
You know, there's not a lot that I like about baseball anymore.
Right.
But I will come back to baseball immediately.
If there's more nudity during the games.
If they have a naked guy running out on the field, slide into second, and strippers showing their boobs.
You'll be back in the game. The great American pastime.
Both of those were great.
Fantastic.
Great moments. Neither moment, incidentally, I don't think, covered on ESPN today.
Yeah, oh. They can't do it, I guess. They can't. What can they? They could do. They could pixelate it.
Yeah, like they do on Cops.
Sure.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hello.
Hello, you're on the air.
Hey, Dynamite.
Hey, buddy.
Oh, I was calling to tell you that William got mad at Jordan and said she's acting fake now, and that she needs to stop kissing their butt so she can stay on the show.
Oh, that's the stripper. See, the black guy and the stripper are both nominated to be kicked off.
When do we find out? You answer this already.
Thursday night. Thursday. Well, that guy's got way too much attitude.
You think he's going to be the guy that's going to be voted out?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. I would have voted myself, except you have to pay like a dollar.
Right? Why did Jordan get nominated to be?
It was the other people in the group that denominated her, because she's a hoary stripper.
Ah, okay. All right. She's good looking, though. She's a good looking stripper,
I
right?
I like her. Yeah, relatively so.
I mean, better looking than the other women in the house.
For a stripper?
Right.
She's real hot.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You
absolutely.
Know, she doesn't have that big, fake body look. She looks
right.
like she's all natural.
Mm-hmm.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
I'll tell you a story about a man named Don. Poor this jockey couldn't flush the family John. So one day he was checking out the sink, and up from the drain came a bubbling stink. Yes, that is. Putrid poop. Golden rain.
Very nice.
Good job.
Thank you.
Pretty
Hello.
Quick, too, on the turnaround.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hello?
Hello?
Yes.
What? You're on the air. Hi.
Yeah. I want to tell you about that pixelating, whatever you call it.
Isn't that only Mike, that guy who just sang the call?
Yes.
We have to pay him $200 for that call.
It was an actor. That was a paid actor who wrote that song. He's one of our writers.
Deal's a deal. A great bit.
A terrific job, and he'll get his check next week.
A great bit worth $200.
That's fantastic.
Yeah, hi.
Yeah.
What?
I wanted to tell you about that pixelating thing that you guys thought. That if you squint, and kind of squint your eyes, you can actually kind of see through it. You can actually piece it back together.
No, that squinting, sir, is an involuntary movement on your part.
You cannot.
You're just squinting automatically.
Yeah, well, you're J-O-ing. Do you know that somebody told me, way back, do you remember before HBO, before a lot of areas had cable TV, when they had something called either on TV or Super TV?
Well, I was pathetic enough to have Super TV in my Laurel, Maryland apartment.
I had Super TV also, and they would show movies, and more importantly, they would show porn.
Right? Yeah.
Okay? And you had to pay. It was like on Channel 66 or some channel like that.
Yeah, I guess we both had Super TV.
Yeah, and you had to pay, and you had a special hookup to your antenna
right.
that would unfreeze the signal.
Uh-huh.
Well, when you didn't pay, you would still get the sound,
yep.
And you would see the porn, except it would be all
scrambled,
squiggly and scrambled.
Right.
And one of my friends came over one day and tried to convince me of exactly that. Said, if you just squint your eyes,
right.
you don't ever have to pay for Super TV.
That's about the most pathetic thing. Well, as pathetic as this call, too. Like it would all come clear, you know, if you just, you just make it blurry.
You just squint a lot.
Hey, I can see them perfectly clearly now.
Super TV. You're a Super TV guy.
Super TV with a little metal antenna, right? That little tube.
Right. You are right.
That I put on my balcony. You know, and a lot of us had them. And you could get like Cinemax movies and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And it wasn't hardcore porn. No, but it was, it was the porn.
It was like 20 years ago.
Right.
You know, 20 years ago,
just about.
Super TV or on TV.
Especially if you were in an area that, that didn't have cable or you had terrible TV reception.
That was it.
Super TV. And they advertised the hell out of the thing.
Yeah.
You know, it was like, get Super TV. Super TV.
I love Don and Mike's show.
Hey, buddies.
Well, one day I'm sitting in my house, really, and...
Squinting.
Friend says, don't pay for it. Just turn it on and watch. If you squint enough, and like idiots, this guy on the side there for 10 minutes going... You know,
right?
Like turning Japanese, trying to look at the porn.
That would have been the same era that I actually had a bachelor party at my apartment for a buddy of mine getting married, and they brought a film, one of the that we had to use a projector. We used a projector to watch stag film.
A stag film.
It was horrible.
Jesus, thank God the times have changed.
Oh, thank God for technology. Yeah.
Hello,
hey buddies.
Hey buddy.
Hey, I was just checking out that Big Brother site the other night, and on the thing they have a little. Like, buy on everybody, and you can look up, hot information. And one of the things that said that that guy Josh, everybody's starting to think Josh is a fag because Eddie had talked to him during the week and asked him, hey, you know, who do you think looks hot in this group of people here? And they were talking about it, and Josh says, well, you'd be surprised if I told you. And then he asked him later, he says, are you gay? And the guy just kind of snickered, that Josh guy.
I hope so. I think they need a gay guy in that house.
And also there was a report on the internet today, and it's been reported. I heard it on the news station when I was driving in today,
right.
Saying that they're positive. Is it Susan they're saying is the winner on Survivor?
No. Jervis is the one they say, but, you know, they could be wrong. It could be right.
Mike, that's just an internet report.
Haven't we heard...
Before you put your hands in the air.
I was just doing that for show, but I do believe that. Haven't we heard, like, three reports on the internet of three different people that... Now, Jervis is my intellectual pick. Rudy is my emotional pick.
No, Jervis is your bug-eating pick.
Yes, that's my bug-eating
pick. That's your pick of record.
That's the real pick, but so they're saying Jervis. Huh?
Something about it when you look at the code numbers on the photographs of the people along with the tribal vote record on the internet, that red X's appear on everybody's picture except Jervis's. But that could also be a ruse for publicity purposes. We don't know for sure.
SurvivorSucks.com has posted a message from someone who visited the CBS Survivor webpage, showing the already eliminated contestants, right, and with a simple click of the right mouse, figured out a way to view photos of all the Survivor contestants who are not yet eliminated.
Right.
All of the pictures had red X's through them except for Jervis, who, according to the CBS website, likes sports, movies, and anything with Selma Hayek.
But just remember, Richard's throwing big parties up in Rhode Island.
Right.
Because he won. And remember, Jervis couldn't run, couldn't swim, and had trouble eating eel or whatever it was they were eating.
And I guess at some point over the weekend, I was discussing this with my family and some other people. And, I don't know, somebody pulled out an old copy of TV Guide, like from 3 weeks ago, where they had the odds of who was going to win 3 weeks ago.
Right.
3 weeks ago, the odds were number one was Gretchen, who's been voted off.
Yep.
Number two was Josh, who was voted off. And number three was the Jesus freak that we had on the show last week, Dirk, who was already voted off.
All three were the front runners?
Yeah, they were the top three favorites 3 weeks ago in TV Guide.
That's why that show is hot.
That's right. So who the hell knows?
Absolutely.
Okay. One last call. We have to do a break. See, this is why I need a clock.
Yeah.
Do you realize?
Oh, my God.
Look what time it is. We've been on the
356.
Yes, we've been on the air almost an hour.
It's pretty incredible.
I'd like a clock, please. Please?
I'm going to try to, hook it up so I can put this thing up for you.
Could you do that?
Well, I hooked it up before. I just didn't have anything to hang it on, so I'll work on that during the break.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Don and Mike.
Yeah.
Hey, man.
Hey.
Take care of your dog for you when she goes.
What do you mean?
I run a pet crematorium.
Oh, really? Is it a pet cemetery also?
No, it's just
a pet cemetery.
Great movie, great book.
One little book, and you can't say anything without it sounding funny.
Pet cemetery.
A pet crematory.
No, she's around for at least a couple of weeks. Thank you, though. Goodbye.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Thank you, sir.
Thank
Hello.
You, Vulture.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hey, Don and Mike.
Hey, buddy.
Hey, I had that Super TV, too. I live in Montgomery County.
Yeah?
And I remember it went out for like 3 days.
I do, too. I did, too. I remember when it went out. I remember how mad I was. I bought Super TV, paid my fee, paid my installation fee.
It was an exorbitant fee back in the day, right?
And then it went out for 3 days where you couldn't get Super TV. And then they had didn't they have some little thing on the screen saying, if you're having trouble, we are working on rectifying. It wasn't good enough.
I think, number one, they had, like, the symbol, the Superman symbol. And then, number two, instead of playing, like, a tape, of different songs, they played Toto out of Africa for 3 frickin' days.
Oh, yeah. Everybody remembers the great Super TV.
Super TV. There are a lot of people that have.
Thank
Super
you, my
TV.
Friend. We gotta go. We gotta go. We gotta do a break. Mike has to fix the clock.
Yeah, I need Rob, you'll need to help me out with getting something to hang the clock on.
Phone number 877-365-3636. Call 100 right now. Give you a shot at the money with a secret sound. Oh, and when we get back. I normally don't like telling you what's coming up next on the show.
Right.
But a great article that we have to share with you. Hitler's closest relatives found living in Long Island.
Oh, amazing, amazing but true.
Hitler's. Meet the Hitlers.
They are living on Long Island.
We will get a call 100 for the secret sound and tell you about the Hitlers of Long Island right after this.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Say this, those are some sick, sick, sick people. Mentally sick. And I thought it was horrible, disgusting, embarrassing, shameful. It's stuck. People are sick when they do something like that. Absolutely friggin' sick. Those are sick people. Sick in the head. They ought to get their ass thrown right out of the stadium.
Laura.
Hi.
Hi, I'm Don. This is Mike. Could we impose on you and just ask you to say, Don and Mike, you're sick in the head?
Could you just say, you would make us happy.
That'll go on somewhere. I'm not going to
do it. Yeah, we will play it for the next 10 years.
I might outlast that interview I did.
Well, listen, Coach, best of luck in Indianapolis.
Okay.
Jim Mora, thank you. Good luck with the Colts.
Coach, we got a quick reaction.
He's sick.
All right.
Sick. Sick in the head.
Serving as a radio plushie for over 6 million listeners. The Don and Mike Show.
I want to thank Mike.
Yep.
And also our engineer, Wendell Lennon. His brand new John Lennon glasses.
Wendell Lennon was the one that did all the hardware work there. But, that clock is sitting on the wall very precariously. Wendell screwed it into the wall. He didn't screw it into anything. It's just kind of sitting there. And I'm a lot lower than I was the last time that thing fell off the wall.
So at some point, if you just happen to back against the wall.
Yeah, it's right. A little precarious. Oh, it really is.
Time flies on the Don and Mike Show.
Thank you, Don.
Well, thank you for fixing that, Mike. And also thanks again to Wendell Lennon.
Wendell's a good man.
This is great new John Lennon glasses. You know, he came in with a new look today, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Tie-dye shirt on.
Right? Tie-dye shirt and his thick new glasses, and he was missing the screws with his screwdriver. And I said, is that a new prescription? He said, yes. So he gave me some engineer talk, you know, on my Parallax surgery. So it's not, but it could be. I don't know what he was talking about.
Well, thank you, Wendell. Wendell Lennon. I wonder if he's ever heard from that girl again.
You know, did we ever get an update on that?
No, never did. I'm sure he'll come in and tell us, I'm sure. Hello.
Very good, sir.
Don Mike, hello.
Hey, how you doing?
Hi, you are Call 100.
Right on.
What's your name, my friend?
My name is Joe.
Joe, where are you from?
Tracy, California.
Joe, Call 100, you won the WWF prize pack. WWF Fully Loaded is live on pay-per-view this Sunday.
Sunday.
Called Cox Communications or Pay-Per-View to Order.
Fantastic.
Now you get to go for the big box for $500 with the secret sound. Are you ready?
I'll give it a shot.
Okay, please don't say stapler and please don't say briefcase.
Alrighty.
Okay, play the sound now. I'll give you 15 seconds to think about it. Please don't answer till Mike sings light. We wish you Godspeed.
Caller, name this sound.
There it is. A common everyday sound. And you better get this one soon because we're coming near the end of the secret sound road again. Getting very near the end of this contest. That's for $500.
And the odds are in my
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
What is the sound?
Bear with me here. Is it a can opener?
Bear with me here.
There you go.
No. Thank you, though.
All right. Thank you.
And don't forget that every guest is
a clue for you.
I
guess that's a clue.
Right.
Can opener.
Can opener. Yeah. Right. Can opener on Mars.
Really.
Hitler's closest relatives found living on Long Island.
Oh, my God.
Showing no sense of regret. And this is not from the tabloids.
No.
This is from...
That's from the Washington Times.
From the Washington Times.
Okay.
Showing no sense of regret, Adolf Hitler's closest surviving kin are living in American neighborhoods.
Wow.
For more than 50 years, they've lived with the terrible legacy of the most hated man in history. Now, for the first time, Hitler's lost relatives have been found.
Oh.
Apparently, there was an article in New Yorker magazine tracing Hitler's family tree.
Think you might, you know, you might want to change the name. That would just be a suggestion when you come to the United States after, you know, being related to the worst villain in the history of the world. Just change the name. Might be a real good move.
And if you're listening to us right now in Long Island, if you're part of the 1.1 audience percent share that we have in the new ratings.
Yes.
And it's Nelly. Ken, thanks for your support today.
Ken, that was incredibly uplifting.
That's great. When Ken came in the office today and said, you did worse than the show that had been on before you.
Sometimes I don't understand him when he says, man, you know, you're so incredibly number one here, and then to have that 1.1 up there, I'm like...
Thanks. Yeah, come on, we've been on 3 months.
Thanks, boss.
In New York. And then he figures out that we're pissed at him, and he says, "Well, no, that's what I told them. I told them, if you got money,
yeah, put it on this show because this show's not going to be there very long. I'm trying to make it right after he completely demoralized us.
Who's the them, incidentally? Yeah. When he said that,
I always get the impression that he's making that part up.
Do you think so?
I think he stays in his office and doesn't speak to anybody. I think the them is in his mind.
Well, you know what? I'll get back to this Hitler thing in a second.
Hold on.
Let me see. Ken Stevens.
That's what I told them.
Couldn't be friends.
He has no friends.
No.
Might be journalists. He does. Because he's up there in New York now.
What is that busy thing?
I don't know.
Because he's up there in New York now, he does talk to the media a lot.
Unlike Washington, D.C., they've got a rather significant print radio coverage machine up there.
Yeah, there you go. That's our buddy. That's the guy who really supports us the whole way, right? He comes in today and goes, wow.
Yeah, hey.
What about those numbers?
How about that?
Yeah. You did worse than the show that I had on before.
Sure.
Thanks. Yeah. Thanks for the support, Ken.
Yeah, it says something like, how does it feel to have lower numbers than the show before you? You know, the show that was the one that we replaced.
Tom Lickass.
He's like... Yeah.
So thanks.
Thank you.
It's 3 months on there. Thank you, Ken. Thanks for the support.
Appreciate it.
Mm-hmm. Well, I told them. That's what he says. He says, I told them, if you have money, you bet on that show.
Right on.
You bet on that show.
And then he, slithered out of the office.
Right. On his belly, like a reptile.
Yeah, he's kind of feeling bubbly. You know, he was kind of happy, Ken, too, which was even more demoralizing.
Yeah. Well, you know, he's happy because, for a change... We're under the eight ball.
Yeah.
You know, he can't be enough of a team player
mm-hmm.
to realize that our success is hinged to his success.
Yeah.
For one brief moment,
mm-hmm.
he was able to come in and actually look at us, and he actually had his hands on his hips in that Superman way.
Right.
You're mortal.
Yeah.
You have a 1.1 in New York.
And then we're saying things like, well, you know, it's 3 months, and you know where we're going to be. It makes a good story. It's going to make for a good story that we're starting out here, because when we eventually succeed, it's going to be all the better. So, yeah, I know that. I know.
Well, if you know that, then why'd you say that? That's what I told them.
Them. Those. They.
Them.
Those folks.
All right. Well, I'll get back to him after we talk about another great villain.
Yes.
After we talk about Hitler.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so Hitler's relatives... live in Long Island.
So the first part of that article says they have no regrets. So they're obviously, are they defiant?
Well, listen.
Okay.
Hitler's closest surviving kin are Hitler's three great nephews live in Long Island, an hour outside New York.
His great nephews.
Mm-hmm. And they are great, incidentally.
Oh, my God.
Now, let me see. Hitler's American relatives have consistently refused to give interviews. Huh. Even their lawyer has asked not to be identified.
Stay cool.
But I'm telling his name for the first time. His name is Donald Ephraim.
Hey, how are you?
Stay cool. Stay cool.
And even though there are some who might say, why would a Jew
mm-hmm.
represent Hitler?
Yeah, we don't understand, you know.
Stay cool. Yeah. Stay cool.
The answer for Donald Ephraim is his money green?
Adolf, listen.
Hi. Stay cool.
Everything's going to be fine.
Let me see. The lawyer has refused to be identified. When contacted, he said, if they came forward, meaning Hitler's relatives, where's your life after this? Several of the relatives bear some physical resemblance to Hitler.
Oh, dear. Jesus. Oh, no.
They point out, if you block out everything else,
right,
you still have that Hitler forehead and those Hitler eyes staring at you.
Oh, God. Now, that's scary.
The legacy of the Hitler name has brought a life of trouble for his surviving kin.
Well, c'est la vie.
Let me see. The writer who found Hitler's relatives found it ironic that his search had ended on knocking on a door in Long Island. There were American flags hanging from the houses of neighbors and dogs barking. It was a quintessentially middle American scene. The New York article, Hitler's Lost Family.
I think it's important to point out there were American flags hanging from neighbors' houses.
Right. Yes.
There you go.
They interviewed Hitler's relatives in Germany and Austria. Let me see. Those relatives had little regret for Hitler's crimes.
Hmm.
They also think that a reason that maybe Hitler's relatives are starting to come out and say, hey, hi,
mm-hmm.
we're Hitler's.
Right. We're the Hitler's.
Get a hi, Hitler's.
My God.
Is because Hitler's estate, what with the royalties from his book, Mein Kampf, and other stuff, is up to $24 million.
Oh, yeah, and they're going to really be able to collect on that. You know, I mean, don't you think that any state might just attach some punitive damages to it?
I would hope so.
Good okay. God.
One middle-aged Austrian descendant says he would have no reservations about taking the money. The Jews have got their compensation, he's quoted as saying.
God. He sounds like a Hitler.
Now the slave laborers have got theirs. It's time for us Hitlers to get ours.
Oh, right.
My God.
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
Now, that's a guy in Austria,
that's a guy
right?
in Austria.
Okay.
Now, the guy who found the American Hitlers.
Isn't Austria the country, correct me if I'm wrong, where didn't they elect a Nazi? I mean, he had to resign, but
right.
isn't there a guy that was tied into the Nazi groups?
Yes.
I myself.
Now, the guy who found the American Hitlers says, for the most part, the Hitlers do not seem to be very nice people.
Huh. For the most part, they don't seem to be nice people.
I don't know if you could say that this is genetic or living under the shadow of the Hitler name, but I had no sense of regret from them. Rather, it was more fear and terror of what might happen if they came forward. Then they go on to a little bit of a bio about Hitler. Let me see. Most of the Hitler heirs were poor, uneducated farmers. The exception was Leo Rubal, who became a director in the steelworks in Germany and looked so much like Hitler that during the war he served as a Hitler double.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? The most intriguing members of the family are the only survivors of the paternal line, though Hitler's half-brother alias, through Hitler's half-brother alias. Alias Hitler eloped with a teenage girl in 1910 and had a son. That was Willie Hitler.
Willie.
God. William.
The funny Hitler.
Willie Hitler.
Mm-hmm.
His first glimpse of his famous uncle was at the 1929 Nuremberg rally. He later returned to Britain, giving several newspaper interviews about his uncle, and enlisted in the U.S. Navy while in the war. Willie Hitler was in the U.S. Navy.
Okay, well, I mean, I still think you might want to change the name.
Yeah. Willie was interviewed by U.S. intelligence in 1943. He claimed he had been beaten as a baby by his father, who had in turn been treated cruelly by his grandfather. Young Adolf had been the favorite when the half-brothers were growing up together. In a report to the Daily Express, Willie Hitler...
has a funny ring to it, doesn't it?
Willie Hitler was described by an interviewer as wearing a brush mustache and parting his hair to the right.
Hmm.
He also crossed his arms in Führer style when talking, claiming... it must be in my blood.
Oh, my God.
Willie Hitler died in 1987.
Mm-hmm.
So they found a couple of Hitler's relatives in Germany and Austria. They don't give any information about where they might be.
Right.
But they say for sure, and they don't want to give out the names, but they found three American Hitlers that live in Long Island.
And just walked up and knocked on the door. And the ones that they just, I want to make sure I got it right. In that article, they said that they didn't get the impression that there was a lot of
regret. It was more based on fear.
It says, they live in absolute terror. Now, talking about Hitler's closest surviving kin are the three great-nephews who live in Long Island.
See, change the name, idiots.
Yeah. They live in absolute terror of being uncovered and their lives being turned upside down. The American Hitlers...
That just sounds so weird.
...have consistently refused to give interviews. Even their lawyer has asked not to be identified. So maybe they have changed their name. Maybe, you know, maybe they have...
Oh, so maybe they found them, but that's not their... Yeah, okay. All right.
And that, but then he said...
The American Hitler.
Several of the American Hitlers bear some physical resemblance to Hitler. You block out everything else, you still have the forehead and those eyes staring back at you.
Wow. That is so weird. That is so weird.
Hitlers. Meet the Hitlers.
Oh, my God.
They're the Long Island family.
Well, Donna just goes along with what we always say. Never forget.
Yeah,
never.
Absolutely.
Never forget.
Absolutely.
There you go.
Imagine that. Hi. Welcome to Long Island. It's so nice to have you in the neighborhood. We are the Hitlers.
Yes, hi. It's good to see you. Please leave us alone. You are getting regrets from us, but we are very afraid of our lives being turned upside down. Well, change your name. Well, change their name.
Maybe they, but then again, you look like him.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, bears an uncanny resemblance, you know.
Of course, I guess you could.
Even the girls.
But then Willie Hitler.
Right. He's dead.
Yeah, Willie Hitler, the dead one. He wore the mustache in his hair like Adolf did.
See, that tells me something right there. I mean, you might have had a, you know, the American Hitlers say, hey, that's okay. Well, no problem.
The American Hitlers.
No problem. They're coming forward to claim the estate.
Hi, we're the Hitlers. We understand that there's about $24 million from the sales of the book Mein Kampf.
Yeah, right. They can collect on that.
We are the Hitlers. We would like that in a cashier's check, please.
Note how we all have our hair combed over to the side with the brush mustache. Right.
All right, now hold on. There's a guy who says Willie Hitler was on TV a lot.
Really?
Was he really?
I must have missed that.
Is that true? Was Willie Hitler on TV a lot?
Hey, guys, yeah. Actually, yeah, he was. He died in the 80s, right?
Mm-hmm.
87.
Yeah, yes. Okay, that rings a bell. Yeah, he used to come on. He had a ventriloquist act with a black dummy.
Oh, no.
Oh, no, that's Willie Tyler.
That's the wrong...
and Lester.
That's the wrong Willie.
There you go.
Tell us Don and Mike show.
Radio guys.
Hi.
Hey, I'm a history student at James Madison.
Right.
And I took a class last year, and we learned quite a bit about Adolf Hitler, and that his father was the illegitimate child of a Jewish shopkeeper.
Yeah, I think that's right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and his mother, his real last name is Stickelgruber. And the Jewish, the German people who didn't like Hitler used to call him Stickelgruber. And so he's really probably of Jewish descent. And also the last name Heitler, his mother, after Hitler was born, married this German guy, Heitler. And then they brought in, he changed the name to Hitler to make it more powerful.
Well, I have a prize if any of the American Hitlers call in today from Long Island.
Have a round of applause to the young man at James Madison University, showing us that he indeed is paying attention in class.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Learning something.
Hello.
Oops.
Hello, you're on the air.
Hello.
Hi.
Is this James Hitler? No, I'm teasing. Hey, I heard this morning that they did change the name to Hiller.
Now, where did you hear that?
On another radio program. The same stuff that you're saying, except for that they had changed their name to Hiller.
Hello. Well, there's nothing in this article that says
I was waiting for you to say it, and I just thought I'd share.
Well, there's nothing in this article that says they changed their name to Hiller. Mm-hmm. Probably get me a Long Island phone book, though.
Mm-hmm.
Call everybody named Hiller.
There you go.
Hello, Don and Mike show. Hi.
Germany.
Hi, we're the Hitlers.
Hello.
We're having a little get-together on Wednesday night. Yes.
Hello, my name is Dr. Harry Vina, and I would love to attend.
Harry Vina.
Harry Vina.
Harry Vina.
College, and I went abroad last year to Germany, and about that Austrian right-wing party, they are some sick people.
Oh, you mean the modern Nazis over there?
Yeah,
no doubt they're sick effers.
No, I don't want to make... No. I went over to Germany a few years back. I don't want to make sweeping generalizations, but...
Please, go ahead, Mike.
One of the weird things about it, I talked to some old people over there, and there really is... What always disturbs me about that, a lot of the old people that were there, you know, when they were the enemy, you know, it's just... You don't get that feeling of remorse from some of those people.
No, that's why we say never forget.
Never forget. Kind of creeps me out.
Never forget.
You know, it doesn't surprise me that you can get, like, groundswells of the, you know, like the neo-Nazis popping up over there, because it's weird. It's scary. It's very scary.
Hi, welcome to Long Island. I'm Mr. Hitler. This is my wife, Mrs. Hitler.
My God, look at the way they look.
And this is our son, little Willie Hitler.
All the men, the women, everyone, exactly the same with a brush mustache.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Don, Mike, Buzz, hey, what's happening?
Hey, buddy.
Hey, listen, I heard on the radio earlier that they did change the name, and it's Hiller now, Hiller.
Well, you know, now we're getting this report. Where are you calling from?
I'm calling from the Bay Area.
From the Bay Area. All right. Well,
okay. Because they were great nephews, they could have there'd be several different last names for these families.
Sure, absolutely. All right. Thank you.
Well, you guys rule, man. Keep kicking ass.
Thank you. Bye bye. Hello, Don and Mike show.
I want to say that's all alleged, you know, before everybody named Hiller in the world starts getting personal.
Well, Mike, I think that perhaps we should look into all the Hillers out there. Every single one.
Wouldn't take too long.
Every one. Hello, Don and Mike show. Oops. Hello, Don and Mike, you're on the air.
Yeah, I hate to disagree with you guys, but I think they changed the name to Speewag.
Oh, hey, Rob. There's a friendly call for Rob Speewag.
Thank you. Hello, what, Robbie?
I want my money.
Oh, God. Hello, Don and Mike. Still.
Hey, Mike, I'm surprised you don't know his real last name. He used to play for Red Sox after the war. It was Wee Willie Keeler.
Wee Willie Keeler, yes.
Was that some guy who used to play for the Red Sox?
I think so, yeah. Long time. I mean, many moons ago.
Hello, Don and Mike show. Oops, hello.
Yeah, hi, how you doing?
Hi, we're doing great, thank you.
Hey, you know, your Hitler sounds an awful lot like Jack Cassidy.
Oh, speaking of Jack Cassidy, I watched one of those little A&E things.
Shirley
over.
Jones?
Did you watch any of that?
Saw it last night.
Did you watch that with Marty Ingalls?
Yeah, out in front of their house.
I saw it. Marty Ingalls snapped his cap when she divorced him, and he's out there, like, showing people her Oscar and everything. Oh, my God. And then at the end, did you see the flashback when they went to the stage and you saw Shirley with all the Cassidys, including Jack Cassidy?
Jack Cassidy.
Oh, all this talk has really fired me up. Hold on a second.
Here we go.
Oh, my God.
Maya.
Bravo. That deserves a sponsor.
Thank you. Not much there, but I'll take that. Egars.com, the best cigar site on the web.
Yes, Charlie Jones. And hey, Marty Ingalls has aged gracefully, hasn't he? God, that guy's not too out there.
Hi, Charlie, this is Jack. Listen, we're having cocktails with the Hitlers tonight. The Hitlers want to meet the Partridge family's mother, Jack Cassidy.
I'm Jack Cassidy.
There I am. There are all the boys. Yes, sir. David, young David Cassidy, Patrick, Sean.
There's four of them, right?
Yeah, they were talking. They mentioned at the end of that report, they were talking about all the, like, some of the weird names that I hadn't heard.
There was
like Rick or something like that.
Rick or Ryan or something like that.
Yeah, a couple of them are still in show business.
Yeah. They said,
Sean Cassidy is the producer of a popular television show.
Right, right.
David Cassidy works in Las Vegas.
Mm-hmm.
Patrick Cassidy, and you know, that's where they lost me. They got the Cassidys I didn't know about.
And you saw Jack, like, with all the boys out there on some, like, Merv Griffin show, and he's all, you know, with his chest popped out.
These are the boys! I'm Jack Cassidy!
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hi, is it me?
Yes, you're on the air. Hi.
Hi, agree with what Mike said about them not showing a whole lot of remorse. I was in Germany in 98, and my husband is Jewish, and I felt like there was definitely a general disdain when they heard our last name.
Yeah, I don't like to paint with, like, two broad strokes.
Go ahead, Mike.
But I know you enjoy when I do that. I tell you, it weirded me out. It creeped me out to a level where I didn't want to, you know, you're in an enemy country. And it was one of those things where I didn't want to get, like, pissed off at this elderly lady that was talking about it, but it was through an interpreter, and I was just like, oh,
absolutely.
Okay.
It's weird, and there was an interesting thing that happened, actually. We drove outside of Munich to dock out toward the camp there, and there was a whole troop, I guess, of young military guys touring it with us, German military.
Weird.
So that was really weird, yeah.
All right, just remember, you know, Germans, Japanese, okay, equals bad guys.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Never forget.
It's only 50 years ago, Mike. Not that long ago.
No.
And look at this article. There's Hitlers in Long Island.
Unbelievable.
They're on the island.
Right.
Hello, Don and Mike.
Yeah, they were actually on in Massachusetts before they actually moved to the island. And the last name is definitely Hiller.
God, I hope they weren't Red Sox fans.
Well, we do have... Do you want to try to call some in Long Island?
Yeah.
Yeah, come on.
What the heck? All right.
We'll watch you do it.
Okay. Well, you got to do it off the air anyway.
I got their permission to come on the air.
Yeah.
Like they'll say it. Are you related to Hitler? Well, yes. Yes, I am. We actually found a Long Island phone book.
Investigating the Hillers.
I got that weird feeling.
Yeah. All right. He's not there.
Hi.
All right. Okay. All right. We're not in our bunker right now.
Should be worried if we call one of these.
Ah.
There's a red flag right there, Mike.
Yes.
Red flag. That line is busy.
Very good.
Okay.
have a prize if one of Hitler's relatives came on the show. I mean, of course, we'd tear him down, but we'd give him a prize.
Hello?
Yes. Hi, this is the Don and Mike Show. Do you mind going on the air with us?
In regards to what?
Just need your permission if you'd like to come on the radio with us.
What station is this?
WNEW.
Which is what?
It's a 102.7.
Okay.
All right. Thank you.
What is it for?
Thank you for your permission. We, you live in Long Island?
That's correct.
Can I ask a very personal question? Are you in any way related to one of the worst dictators in history?
No.
Okay.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Fair enough.
See, we read in the newspaper today that some of Hitler's relatives are living in Long Island.
Mm-hmm.
And then somebody called and said that they changed their name to your name.
So we were just double-checking.
No.
Okay, good. Right. Good for you.
Thank you.
Good for you. God bless America.
God bless, and thank you so much for your time.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. All right, we'll scratch her off the list, Rob.
All right, you handled that beautifully.
Sure.
Yeah, absolutely. It has to be handled delicately.
Sure. Oh, yeah. You just can't call up and say, hi.
Yeah,
listen,
right.
Are you a Hitler?
Right.
You know.
It has to be handled very delicately.
Or you have to say, you know, the worst dictator of all time.
Absolutely.
You know, read between the lines.
Sure. Right,
okay.
Sure.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Yes, this is Hampton Myers. I'm from Louisiana. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, because nothing. I object to how you portray Nazis, that I believe that you can be a Nazi without being a hate monger.
Impossible. The Nazi belief is based in hate.
Well, you could say that American belief is based in hate as well, because 60 million Africans died in slave trade, and how many uncounted Native Americans died when we took their land?
I think this is like a familiar thing you would see on many hate group websites. This entire argument, I think this is a, you know...
Mike, this is another guy we have paid $200 to call the show.
It's actually an actor.
To be a wacky caller on our show.
This isn't a joke. I'm saying that the Holocaust was pure evil, 6 million deaths, it's murder. But the Nazis had some political ideals, and, you know, maybe...
Okay, you sound like Marge Schott. Listen, you know, he made good roads.
Right.
No, there's nothing good about the Nazis.
Well, in our experience, when you're talking about Nazis, pretty much all well and good just to kind of give the blanket statement.
They're all bad.
They're all bad. There you go.
No, not everything. So
no, yes,
there's an idea that worked D.C., it worked real well. And
well, if you like communism so much... If you like communism and being a Nazi, why don't you get the hell out of this country?
Are you a Nazi?
No, sir.
Well, then what are you doing standing up for Nazis?
I'm many things. A Nazi is one of them.
So you are a Nazi?
Among others.
And what else are you?
I'm an anarchist.
Mm-hmm. So you advocate tearing the government down. The Klan? You member of the Klan?
Excuse me?
Are you a member of the Ku Klux Klan?
No, I hate bigotry, I hate racism, it's pure ignorance and it's evil.
But you're a Nazi.
But Nazis aren't necessarily bigots, only Nazis.
Oh, here you go. Welcome to today's show, Nazis really are nice.
No, many Nazis were terrible. Hitler had many screwed up ideas about racial purity, but so did our founding fathers, and today we say God bless America.
All right, thank you. Goodbye.
Bye.
Goodbye.
It's a scary little world.
Very scary.
Hold on. Ken Stevens is on the phone now.
Ah, very good.
Returning our call. Hello.
Hello.
Speaking of awful dictators.
Yes, so we've got our awful dictator on the phone right now.
Ken.
Thank you.
Ken, we were just, as we were getting into our story about Hitler's relatives living on Long Island.
Yeah.
We were thinking for a moment, because Long Island, of course, made us think of New York.
Mm-hmm.
And made us think of the... incredibly warm reception you gave us today when you came in the office, and you commented on our porous ratings on WNEW. And our question, I think, was when you came in and you said, hey, you know, you guys have worse ratings than Tom Likas did.
Mm-hmm.
Then when we took a bit of umbrage at that, when you said, well, I told them
to put their money down
on this show, that this show would be a winner.
Because we're going to bounce back. Who's them? That's what we were curious about. You told them.
Oh, who would be betting against you?
No, who was them when you said, I told them to bet on this show?
Yeah, you made a couple of they-them references. We're just curious who they... Was they media in New York? Was they other people?
Or was that just rhetorical? Were you just making that up?
You know what, it was kind of... How do I describe this to you? Nobody came up and said...
Honestly?
Yeah.
No, that's how I like to describe.
Say, boy, you were stupid taking off Likas, you know. So nobody told me that. So I just kind of said in advance, in case anybody was thinking that, because I don't trust anybody, that, you know, if you're worried that Don and Mike will not do better than Tom Likas,
I suggest you bet your money on Don and Mike.
So
yeah, that was in the media, but I didn't talk to any reporters.
Wait, but then who did you say it to?
I said it to, I think I said it actually to the entire sales department at one point, but no, my point is nobody said to me, you shouldn't have taken off Likas.
So it would be people in-house at WNAW?
Yeah.
Certain individuals.
Yeah. Okay.
All right. All right.
Just in case,
we're just
there's,
curious,
anybody,
you know, we're
just in case there's any closet Likas fans at the station, I wanted them to know that I believe that you will do much better than Likas ever would have.
You mean there might be people up there that, I'd like those people to be singled out if possible.
Is their last name Hiller? Killer. We believe that that's what Hitler's relatives are changing their names to. Killer. And they're all in Long Island. There's three of them. All right, well, thanks.
Well, wait a second. What if there are actually people with that name who are not related to him at all? Aren't you doing them a disservice?
Well, that's why we just got some of them out of the phone book, and we actually called one lady up, and we asked her, and she said no, she was not related to him.
Oh, okay.
So that's how we'll be spending our time. Well, not on the air, but off the air,
mm-hmm.
I will be pouring through the Long Island phone book all night tonight, individually, calling everyone with that name. Trying to find.
Because Don is a true patriot, as you know, Ken.
I understand that.
Mm-hmm.
That's a noble public service.
Thank you.
And you might try to seek out whoever was going to bet against you and the staff, too.
That's a good idea, yeah. I'd like to single out that. We'll do that next time we come up to New York. We'll find those individuals.
So now you're saying that there are people on the staff at NAW... who did say that to you, who wanted to bet against
him? I don't think there's anybody who thinks that. I don't think that there were any Likas fans.
So what you said was a kind of a preemptive strike. Then.
Yeah.
I see.
Uh-huh. All right. Okay. Okay. All right. Well, it wasn't really a morale-building session that the three of us had today. You know, I mean, when you just came in and you immediately said, hi, whoa, those numbers.
Well, when's the last time I didn't come into your office and say, hey, congratulations on being number one? You know? It was an unusual occurrence.
See, I told you, he's happy by this.
Yeah.
Even though he should be rooting for our success.
See, he knows that we're going to, I don't doubt for a second that Ken knows we're going to triumph in New York City.
But there's no
but
doubt.
I also think
he's enjoying this moment.
Of course. He likes to see, you know, we're humble. We're humbled by that. And probably, you know, Ken, you would probably enjoy seeing us a little humble once in a while.
I'd rather see you number one, but this is a good second.
That's an honest answer.
He enjoys it.
That's an honest answer.
Thank you.
I'm only kidding.
Thank you. Ken Hiller, thank you. Thank you very much.
Bye-bye.
There he is.
Hi, I'm Ken Hiller. This is my wife, Roz Hiller.
Not the way we have our hair potted to the side with a brush mustache.
All right, well, there you go. Hitler and Ken Stevens in one break together.
Very tidy.
As they should be. We have to do a break. We have more phone calls, and we will get to them in a moment.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Sports. She was saying that she was 2 weeks pregnant, and I didn't believe it because when you're just two weeks pregnant, you can't really tell just because you haven't seen your menstruation.
God damn it.
Right?
The Don and Mike Show.
I got a guest coming on, not in this break, maybe in the next break, Sexpert.
Oh, I love Sexpert.
Dr. Natasha Terry.
Ooh, Natasha, where's Boris for the birth, Boris?
Something about sex. That's all I know. She's ways to have better sex, ways to have more sex.
Is it for women or men?
Don't know. All I know is Sexpert.
Sex talk.
Sexpert.
Sex is good.
Sex. Sex. Sex on Super TV. Hello. Don and Mike Show.
Is it me?
Yes.
Hey, do you guys know that Friday on KHTK after your show, Grant was not on. Somebody else did his show, and they said that he just took the day off.
Well, I'm sure he did. Thank you.
Very good.
All righty.
Goodbye. Thank you for the call. Hello, Don and Mike Show. Hello.
Speak to us.
You're on the air. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hello.
Hello.
Yeah, hi. Two things. Number one is I was just in Germany last month, and actually I'm a Jewish guy, and I was thinking about 20 Jewish college students there. It's the friendliest place. They just take a look at you. It's like, wow, you're Jewish. They're very apologetic. The Holocaust education there is absolutely amazing there.
Okay. I mean, and that's fair. I mean, it gives two sides of the story.
How many crowds apologize to you?
Probably I would say anywhere between like 30 and 40, actually.
Really?
Not really apologizing, but being like, oh, wow, you're Jewish.
Hi, you're Jewish. Mm-hmm. We'll be extra nice to you.
There you go. Yeah, who knows?
More importantly, Don, there was a TV show on a couple of years back, a short-lived TV show called Hiller and Diller, starring Richard Lewis and Kevin Nealon. I think that might be a coincidence as to who the Hillers really are.
Miller and Diller.
Thank you. Thank you. Goodbye. Hello, Don and Mike Show. Hello.
I'm Mike.
Hi, I'm Hiller.
And I'm Giller.
Kevin Nealon.
Kevin Nealon plays Adolf Hitler.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, it would have to be Kevin Nealon. It wouldn't be Richard Lewis.
No, I think it would have to be Kevin Nealon. Kevin Nealon, when's the last time he made a movie?
Hello, I don't think ever.
I saw him, like, in a celebrity golf tournament recently. It was just like, why is he in a celebrity golf tournament? Is he still a celebrity?
I watched a great kick-ass celebrity death match on MTV over the weekend. One of the funniest ones I've ever seen.
Which one was that?
It was Regis versus Chuck Woolery.
Oh, that's fantastic.
They had them both strapped into chairs.
Right.
And they had to answer dumb questions. And the answer was always C, airplane. It was like, the Wright brothers invented this so that we could fly around.
Right.
A, automobile, B, train, C, airplane.
Mm-hmm.
And as it turns out, every time they got one right, either Chuck Woolery or Regis, they were strapped in these chairs like the millionaire chair.
Yeah.
Like, their leg would become unstrapped, and Chuck Woolery, when he got one right, he would put his foot on a lever, and it would send a big piece of granite down and crash Regis's head wide open. And at one point, Regis was on the phone with Joy. He used Joy as a death line.
Right, right.
And Joy said, Regis, you idiot. All of the answers are C. Pick C. Pick C. And Regis still said, well, you know, Joy, I don't think you're right. I'm going to pick B. And at that point, Regis's, Chuck Woolery reached inside Regis and actually pulled out his lungs.
Oh, my God. Then they have the chest cavity open. Yeah. That is the sickest show on television.
And Chuck Woolery, when he got one wrong, he had his hands cut off.
Right.
So what he did was, there was all this blood and stuff coming out.
It's claymation blood, right?
Yeah.
Where it doesn't really keep spurting out, but it just does that little quick spurt.
And then what he did was he got down on his knees, and he started grinding his stubs against the floor until it looked like two sharpened pencils. And then he went over, and he punched Regis in the head.
Putting holes in Regis's head?
Yeah, putting holes in him.
That show is so
fantastic.
So sick. It really is.
Sometimes it's a winner, and sometimes it's not. But this is one particular one that was just a killer.
I was looking forward to tuning into the one with Melissa and Joan Rivers. Joan and Melissa Rivers. They were promoing that one right after I watched the two race car drivers. It was Jeff Gordon against, I forgot who it was, but it was funny. Of course, Jeff Gordon lost at the end. It
was, I was surprised that Regis lost.
Yeah, you would have thought it would be Chuck Woolery.
And then they had Kevin Bacon fighting against a bunch of people, and Kevin Bacon won also.
It's just funny. I mean, it's absolute mind candy, but it's fun to watch.
And the more I watch Celebrity Deathmatch, the two guys who are the hosts, their hair is exactly like Davy and Goliath hair.
Oh, absolutely.
I mean,
claymation hair.
But I mean, exactly. I mean, everybody else, all the celebrities that they do, the hair is a little different.
Right.
But those, and I know they're not guys, but whoever the dolls are, the claymations,
sure,
are the hosts of Celebrity Deathmatch.
Right, right.
Absolutely Davy and Goliath. That's what I think of every time I see it.
You got to pick the right one, but that Celebrity Deathmatch is a funny show to watch.
And on MTV, I got another question. Who the hell is Mandy? And why does Mandy have her own show in the middle of the day?
I don't know.
I mean, she's not even that hot, I don't think.
Your recording artist supposed to be very wholesome online?
No. It's not. Mm-hmm. It's not Mandy Moore.
Oh, it's different.
It's just a girl named Mandy.
Like a VJ, maybe? Or
no, if you ever watch MTV in the middle of the day, she's like on the Santa Monica Pier, and she's just there with a bunch of friends.
She's hanging out?
Yeah. She goes, hi, I'm Mandy, and like, it's a really great day, and like, we were thinking like, it might be like great to have some Everclear videos, like, on the show, like, what do you think, guys? And then they all go, yeah, Mandy, yo, baby. And then she plays.
Is she hot?
No.
Not at all?
I think Britney Spears is hotter than she is.
Real World's got a hottie in it. Real World's in New Orleans now, and it's got a real, real hottie, a blonde hottie.
That's like not the Mormon, right?
Huh? No, I don't think she's a Mormon. I'm not sure.
They have
a
Mormon.
I only watched my first one.
They have a Mormon on that show, though.
Really?
Who goes to BYU, and she's getting kicked out of BYU because the Mormons have a rule that you can't live in a house with other guys.
I just started watching it, and there was one girl, I'm not sure where she was from, but they were both interested in this guy. And the one girl is this really hot girl, and then the other girl's not as hot as she is, and they were having a big birthday party, and it was interesting. You know, that Real World, I could sit there and just log time on that. I mean, that's my little voyeur. Maybe I should watch less Real World, more Big Brother.
I like Big Brother.
Just support. Of course, it's all our big Viacom family,
right?
Anyway.
I'd also spend some time with making the video on MTV with Britney Spears. You know what? She can't sing worth a lick.
Mm-hmm.
And she appears to be dumb as a box of rocks.
Right. But you love her.
But Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
She's so Trey doable.
She is indeed.
Trey effable.
I watched her special.
you know, when she was out. I guess she was in Hawaii. I think that's where she did that concert, where she was up there in Hawaii.
And she definitely has the take fitties.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely.
You think so?
100%. Well, I was watching this, the making of the video, where they have her dressed in all these skimpy outfits, and one scene where she's laying on the bed at the very end when they're, you know how girls lay on a bed, sometimes if they lay the right way, it like gives them that little extra
oomph. The real ones will kind of go back a little bit, and it'll widen them out a little bit.
Bingo! Yeah. They get a pancake effect.
Not that I'm a connoisseur at all.
They get a pancake effect, and Britney Spears, when she was laying down...
They're still, like, out to here?
Yeah. They were just perfectly, symmetrically perfect.
Right.
Cool. They never moved.
Mm-hmm.
They absolutely never moved. Hello?
Hey, Don?
Yeah.
That Mandy show, it is Mandy Moore on that.
Oh, that is Mandy Moore?
Yeah.
Ugh.
And her other appeal is that she's only, like, 15.
You know, you could improve that show by changing it to Mandy Patinkin.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Yeah, how you doing?
Hi, MTV. Hello, you're on the air.
What's up, Bobby?
Hey, buddy.
Got a question.
Yes.
How long do you think it'll be before you see that guy that called in saying that Nazis were okay on the news for lighting up a church or something like that?
You'd be amazed how many. I mean, you watch the reality news shows. There are people like that all over the country.
I'm convinced he's one. How could anybody possibly say that being a Nazi is okay? It's going to say in one breath that he's not a bigot.
That's
that
why
he thinks that they had some really appealing aspects of their culture, and then at the same time say that there was nothing wrong with them. And look back. I mean, million people. Yeah, there's a lot of dumb things that people have done in history.
Listen, it was a very, very abstract call. That's why we paid that actor $200 to call our show with such a kooky premise.
$200 to generate that kind of controversy.
Thank you, my friend.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no problem. Thank you. Take care.
Said one 10-minute phone call. We'll give you $200. What do you think?
Great. Great acting bit. Great acting gig.
Is that the jivest thing you've ever heard of?
Pretty amazing.
Really?
Pretty amazing.
Unbelievable. How about that? You mean... If that's strapped for bits on your show, that you have to pay an actor to call in to pretend to be a guy who's killed cats.
That blew me away. Blew me away.
The article that I read in the LA Times said not only did this guy do this on the disc jockey show, who, and incidentally, we were officially told by Ken today that we are now also in that camp.
Exactly.
And we can't say his name. But everybody knows who it is anyway. So... Not only did that guy use him and pay him to make a fake phone call,
right?
But there's another guy who doesn't work for this company named Man Cow, and this actor says that Man Cow has also paid him for calling in, making
phony
calls.
And I heard the bit in question. It's not like this guy's scary talented as an actor. Like, it's not like I was duped. I really thought when I was listening that it was some regular schmo like we get who was just full of it. Like that last guy that was the Nazi who was calling in here. I don't doubt if he was full of crap.
No, he's making it up. I'm sure.
But I mean, that's what I thought. And that's what you and I would have said, too. You know, you're full of crap, but no, you know, it's a paid actor.
Paid actor.
Which really, you know something? I put two and two together when I heard that because I was saying, man, we would be saying, you know, hey, you are so full of it. Now I understand why there wasn't any questioning of the sincerity there.
Right.
It's really paid
actor.
It's really paid off.
Because he was paying him.
Paid performer. Fascinating.
See, the story that was in the LA Times says that. So this guy, you know, who was so threatened by all the other disc jockeys that none of us can say his name now, that he paid this guy to call in and pretend that he killed cats.
Mm-hmm.
Well, as it turns out, in Huntington Beach or somewhere in Southern California...
Guy really doing it.
There was a guy who was really doing it. So the cops called the L.A. radio station. The L.A. radio station said, hey, we don't know about it. Called the New York station.
Mm-hmm.
And in the meantime, it's on the news and stuff. And this actor, the cops talk to the actor. And the actor says, oh, yeah, listen, I don't really kill cats, but I did make that phone call because this disc jockey paid me $200.
Amazing. Amazing. That my jaw hit the floor when I heard that.
From the great innovator of radio.
Yeah.
From the great innovator. $200. $200 for one phone bit.
That's pretty expensive.
Jesus Christ.
That's amazing.
It
was bad. I mean, having heard it, it was bad.
You better come.
Bad acting job.
You better give me manual release with that.
Absolutely.
I mean, you better do something for me if I'm going to pay you $200 just to call in and pretend that you kill cats.
Take that $200, put it into a prize, you know, for somebody getting naked.
And for some reason, that story's not generating a lot of national publicity.
I mean, it might. You had said it was from yesterday's L.A. Times?
I just got it yesterday from a friend in L.A.
Sometimes maybe in a couple of days it works its way back east.
I got it yesterday from Learjet Leary.
Hey, man. Learjet Leary.
And you know what his job is now?
What's he doing now?
Okay. I got an email from this guy that Mike and I know, Chris Learjet Leary.
Mm-hmm.
He's working weekends at KISS FM.
Good guy. Nice guy.
Oh, he's a fantastic guy. And his other job is
He's host of the Fox Family Kids Countdown.
Which I have not seen yet, and I have to see
that. It's not on TV.
It's a radio thing?
It's a radio show.
Okay, all right.
It's sponsored by the Fox Family Channel.
Hi, kids. Rick here, Jed Leary.
And I laughed when I read the email. Can you picture any guy? I mean,
they must have made him cut his hair off then.
Well, it's a radio show.
Right.
So it really doesn't matter what he looks like.
But right. Does he involve kids in it?
I think so. I think it's a show like for 8-year-olds.
It'll scare the kids if he looks like the way he used to look.
Because he wrote via this email when he sent along the attachment with this article from the LA Times saying that he's syndicated. He's like on 100 stations.
Right.
And they run his show on Sunday morning at 8 o'clock. And the target audience is 8 to 10-year-olds.
There you go. Fantastic. Hey, a gig is a gig is a gig, right?
Hold on. Here is the hotline-o. Hello?
You have an AT&T collect call. Caller, at the tone, please say your name.
Jimmy.
Oh, okay.
Will you accept charges?
Yes.
Please. Thank you for using AT&T.
Well, up here's my brother.
Hey, dude.
Hey, man.
Boy, you sound far away there, Jimmy.
I'm in Temple, Texas.
You're in where?
Temple, Texas.
Temple, Texas. What load are you driving to Temple, Texas?
Cheese, baby.
Cheese.
Cheese.
Oh, you got a refrigerated truck, huh?
Yeah, I'm hauling a reefer, baby.
Pardon me? I thought you weren't doing that anymore.
Refrigerated truck, I think.
Oh, a reefer.
I said, boy, beware. Don't bring that down to Texas. They got the Texas Rangers down there.
Yeah, I got to be in Houston in the morning.
You got to be in Houston in the morning.
Yeah. Temple, Texas. Boy, that's really on the road, isn't it?
Yeah, it's hot down here.
When did you leave Wisconsin?
Saturday night. It was 1,180 miles.
Boy, that's long haul trucking.
You won't guess how long it took, man.
Let's guess. 1,180 miles. Roughly 1,200 miles. I would say that you made it in.
Now, the fact that he's talking to us from there right now, I would have said ETA is going to be maybe sometime tomorrow.
I would guess 14 hours.
That's right.
And I was originally going to guess 12 hours, which would mean he was going 100 miles an hour.
Oh,
so that means you just back it off a little bit to get 14 miles. Yes, Head.
It only averages at 84.2 miles. 84.3 miles an hour, but that's not counting times at a dead stop.
Boy, with no sleeping at all, huh, Jimmy?
Acceleration.
Right.
That's incredible.
Gotta be safe. That cheese was moving.
Yes, sir.
You get a bonus for getting your cheese there early?
No.
Then what's the motive?
All of my drops are with appointment. You can't get in earlier.
So what is the motivation for driving 100 miles an hour?
Get down here and sleep.
So get some sleep and maybe see the sights, the tourist attractions.
Jenny wanted me to stay home with her as long as possible, so.
Oh, I got you. You're right. Your girlfriend wants to stay at home. You know, I told everybody that you got that preferential treatment up in Portland because of the show.
I got what?
Preferential treatment in Portland.
Yeah, I did.
Right, at a truck stop, right?
On down here.
You what?
I was going to test that again today, but you guys aren't on down here.
No, we're not.
No, not in Texas.
You have the big sleeper car now where you're able to really kick back the real nice truck?
Oh, yeah. I got the big old Peterbilt.
Well, that's great.
So what happened up in Portland?
Not much. I was sitting there. I got there earlier before my appointment. Me and the security guard were BSing and stuff, and I said that I grew up down here, and my brother's still out there and stuff, and I said, yeah, my brother's got a radio show, Don Geronimo, and he says, oh, man. He says, they're number one up here. And then the guy walked back out to the truck, and he says, go get to the dock.
That's it. It's got moved right to the front.
Real quick.
How are you finding the truck stops in Texas? How do they compare to the East Coast truck stops?
East Coast sucks.
Really? Texas better?
Yeah. Well, you know, East Coast, man, half of them, if you stay over 3 hours, you got to pay money to sit there.
What did you eat last? What was your last meal on the road?
Barbecue. Texas barbecue.
You know, they say truckers know the best places to eat. Where of all the places you stopped, what's the best truck stop for food that you've stopped at?
Geez, I don't know. I try not to eat in the truck stops.
Really?
I'll try and get to these restaurants that have enough room for a truck, you know, park there.
Hey, Jimmy, have I ever given you the sex quiz?
No.
I don't think so. All right, we got to do a break, but let me give you the quiz.
Excellent.
This is a quiz that everybody on the show has taken, all the celebrities take it, and now you're going to take it.
No.
Pardon me?
What does this determine?
Just to let us know how sexual you are.
And how much of a horn dog you are, and how, you know, much of a dirty birdie you are.
It's 14 questions. Please answer honestly.
Okay.
Jimmy,
yes.
My brother, have you ever been in a three-way or had group sex? What?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
See
you. And you need to speak up because you got a bad connection.
And answer the questions more quickly.
Have you ever had sex while menstruating?
No.
No. Have you ever had a homosexual experience?
No.
Have you ever made love in your parents' home?
Yes.
Have you ever enjoyed hot interracial sex?
No.
Have you ever J-O'd in front of others?
No.
Have you ever had sex in a public place?
Yes.
Have you ever been filmed or photographed while having sex?
No.
Have you ever had sex in the no-no?
Yes.
Your brother!
Killing me!
Do you swallow?
No.
What is your total number of sexual partners?
Too many to count.
No, we need a number. Need an estimate.
Oh, jeez. 75.
75.
Whoa!
Have you...
Conservative estimate.
Conservative. Have you J-O'd today?
No.
No. Have you ever had sex in a car?
Yes.
Have you ever had a one-night stand or sex with a stranger?
Yes.
Yes. All right, Buzz, tabulate those, please.
I'm kind of a conservative six.
Six yes answers.
Only six yeses.
Very good.
Only six yeses.
You like it in the dookie?
What?
You like it in the dookie?
I didn't like it. I don't know.
That's a yes.
Yeah. That's all right. Be proud.
Be proud.
Be proud. You like it in the butt.
Not mine, though.
Right, okay, no.
Yeah,
you've not received that.
Well, you answered that question earlier.
Okay.
There you go.
All right, well, thanks for taking the sex quiz.
Hey.
All right, well, that's it. I got to do a break.
Oh, okay.
All right.
Talk to you guys later.
Okay, dude.
Drive safely, Jimmy.
Take care, Jimmy.
Yeah. Hey, drive slower.
Why?
Because!
If you don't kill yourself, you might kill others.
Oh, I'm a professional.
Drive slower. Please, drive slower.
All right,
bye.
Bye.
Bye, see ya. Jesus.
84 miles an hour. Jeez. Tons and tons of steel.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
And cheese.
Don.
Yeah.
What's up, buddy?
Hey, buddy.
Hey, what do you think about your brother taking in the dookie? It's pretty nasty.
He doesn't take it in the dookie.
He said the answer to that question before.
No. Well, he said, have you had sex in the no-no spot? Meaning, has he had sex...
with a woman.
In her dookie.
Well, the sex been in the dookie, that's gross.
Listen, I'm with you. It's an exit, not an entrance.
Exactly.
What can I say? You know, to each his own.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and both of you seem a little hung up about it, I'll tell you that right
okay,
now.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah.
Goodbye. And I'm not even going to slam you on this one, Don, but that guy, you know, the caller just jumped on the phone way too quickly.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah, that means he wants your brother to do it to him.
In the dookie?
Absolutely. That's why he called.
Don and Mike Show.
Don and Mike, buddy!
I cannot picture anything grosser than my brother mm-hmm. having anal sex with somebody.
Yeah, that's pretty nasty.
Hello. The only thing grosser would be maybe somebody doing it to him. Hello. Yeah, nice trying to get that one out of your mind, huh?
That's tough.
You said you would reserve judgment on Britney's fake tickle bitties after you saw her mom.
Oh, is her mom hot?
Well, her mom was on that, I think, the Hawaii show, and her mom's going to rack like a deer. She's skinny, and she's stacked.
A rack like a deer. You learn something every day on this show, and I like that. Hey, a rack like a deer.
Up on a break. We'll be right back.
This is the Dawn and...
Repay you.
Well, the reward would be good. There is some damage to my car. It's a high performance machine, so I had to fill up the premium.
Would you like
for me
to take your pants off instead?
Gee, let me think. Sure.
This is the story of
the... It's the home of the pumpkin shampoo. The Don and Mike Show.
Well, I just cut some liners for a new station. Not L.A., but it's close.
Where is it?
San Luis Obispo.
Obispo,
right. The same area code.
Did you mention San Luis Obispo?
No, I did not.
Okay.
I was
wondering how you might have done that if you were...
K-Cal.
Is it San Luis Obispo?
Yes, I believe that's correct.
Or is it San Luis Obispo?
San Luis Obispo.
San Luis. Sounds like, hey, I like this San Luis Rams.
Starts on Wednesday.
It's FM. Very cool. Excellent.
99.7.
Where is that in relation to L.A. exactly? Do you know? Rob usually points at a map.
But the map is no longer here.
I know.
All I know is that it's Southern California. It's FM. And what I love best, it says, start date, Wednesday, July 19th. Time, noon to whenever.
Ah, very nice.
So they'll be airing the entire
Looking
show.
Looking forward to that. California.
Beautiful. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Yeah, fellas, that anal sex thing with Jimmy?
Yes.
Jimmy, not Jamie. He already discussed that. You guys asked him that question. He said he had anal sex in Germany, and you guys asked how it was, and he said it was tight.
It's always nice, you know, when the listeners pick up the slack for our horrible memories.
Thank you, my friend.
All right.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
I really appreciate it when listeners do that. I really do.
I didn't remember that. Hello, Don and Mike.
I'm not an actor. I'm not a Nazi either. That was stupid for me to say.
Who is this, the same guy again?
The same guy, yeah. And people, it was a stupid thing for me to say. I should apologize.
I think you're just starved for attention based on this second call.
That's true enough. But I didn't give you guys a chance to grill me. And when you say you're a Nazi, people think that you do those hate marches and stuff.
And you do.
Come on. Just get off our phone.
Just stop. Leave us alone, please.
Yeah, well, okay. Well.
Please, thank
you. Yeah, what?
Whoa. Jabba-jabba-do.
Right. Hello, Don and Mike. What do you say?
Yabba dabba do.
Yabba yabba do. Yabba dabba do. Hello.
Yabba dabba do.
Hey, how's it going? This is Gabe calling from New York.
Yes, hi, Gabe.
Yeah, I was wondering if I could do the secret sound.
No, I'm not set up for it now, Gabe.
Sucks.
I tell you what. You know what? When the good people of New York reward us with more than a 1.1 share in the ratings, we'll allow them to participate again.
Very good.
Well, you know, I'm a little heavy, so I was that 1.1.
Don, it's never too early for a little of that tough love.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you. Goodbye.
Right, I hear you. See you later, guys.
Goodbye, Gabe.
Bye-bye. He took this Gabe Kaplan calling.
Don Mike Show. Welcome back, Gabe.
Mm-hmm.
Hello.
Oh, hold on. What am I doing? He's a constant gambler. You know, he likes poker and playing the secret sound.
Where is the sexpert? I thought we were having the sexpert on now. Hello, Don and Mike. Hello?
Yes.
Yeah.
Mike?
Yes, we are. Hello.
How you doing? I'm calling about FLO, or San Luis Obispo.
San Luis Obispo. Now, is it San Luis or San Luis?
San Luis.
All right.
The residents call it FLO.
All right. What about it?
Well, you wanted to know where it was.
Yes. Where is it?
It's 75 miles or so north of L.A. on coast, Highway 101.
There it is. Rob's pointing to it right now, Don.
All right.
There it is. It's right there.
San Simeon there with Hearst Castle.
All right, well, that's closer to L.A. than this show's ever been.
Yeah. Maybe they're right.
That would be a mastermind. Hello, Don and Mike show. Hello.
Hello. Und das Don and Mike?
Is this a Hitler call?
I believe.
Und das Nord. This is James from Bel Air.
Oh, I will
kill you kitty cat for free. You don't have to pay me.
All right, thank you. I thought he was doing a Hitler thing, but he was doing a thing about having to pay a guy to call.
You never know. It's like landmines when you're picking up those phones.
Hello, Don and Mike.
I'm a little goat. Look at me running the grass.
Hello.
That was your Release the Hounds guy.
Was it really?
I'm almost certain it was.
If that was him, he should go back to Release the Hounds.
Wasn't that the Release the Hounds guy?
I don't know. It sounded like it could have been, but we've also had a rash lately of goat calls. And so maybe it's someone new, or maybe he's just trying to expand.
He's still out there.
Yes, he is. Hello.
I've seen spiewak bloom, and I watched him grow. He eats more than we'll ever know. And I think to myself, what a big old fat ass.
Oh, my.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Oh, gosh.
All right, the sexpert is online, Mike.
Wonderful.
Now, here's the story as I understand it on Dr. Natasha Terry.
Natasha Terry.
She has got a website that she wants to plug.
All right.
She's very big into the G-spot.
Oh.
And she's a sexual consultant for many of today's hottest celebrities.
Really? We don't have a picture, do we?
No, we don't.
So we'll have to ask her the celebrity she most resembles.
I don't have a bio or anything. I don't know if she's going to talk about these celebrities or not. Hello? Hey, doctor?
Hi there.
Is this Dr. Terry?
Yes, this is. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Natasha or Natasha?
It's Natasha. Dr. Natasha Terry.
Dr. Do people ever refer to you simply as Dr. Natasha?
Yeah, all the time.
Mm. So you're a sex doctor?
I am a relationship and sex therapist.
Wonderful.
Can you tell us
Can you tell us the name of a celebrity who you've helped with sex problems?
Oh, sure. Mick Jagger, Charlie Sheen, Oliver Stone. That's just to name a few. But, you know, it's not just celebrities that have problems. I say that all of us have a problem in the sexual arena at one time in our lives. And the problem really lies in how we solve it. And most of us aren't equipped with the tools to solve these problems because we've never been taught.
Well, you're talking to two guys here that are both equipped with the tools.
Listen, honey, you'll be able to do your plug as soon as we ask you about some of these famous guys. Like, what was Mick Jagger's sexual problem?
Well, it's not that he had a problem. It's just that it just goes to show you that you can sleep with 5,000 million women and still not know that much about sex. I mean, he didn't know where a woman's hot spot, he didn't know where the G-spot was or where certain hot spots were on a woman.
So did he?
He was eager to learn.
Did he come to you to ask?
Well, he looked me up on the internet, and a friend of a friend hooked us up, and one thing led to another, and it was interesting though because he was 54 when I was hanging out with him, and now that was 2 years ago. So, and he was also interested in how to learn how to have what's called a male multiple orgasm, which is where a guy can have more than one orgasm. I'm talking one after the other without...
Really?
You know,
really?
Without... What happens is the same technique can help a guy last longer and have more control over his... Or how long his sex is going to last, without Viagra.
Who is the celebrity that you most resemble?
Who's the celebrity that I most resemble?
Yes, because we don't have any information in any picture or anything like that.
You can check me out on my website, incrediblesex.com.
Well, honey, just tell us who you look like.
Okay, let me see. I've heard everything from, from Julia Roberts to Madeline Stowe to Raquel Welch, to Raquel Welch's daughter, because I have brown hair, brown eyes, and I'm Spanish. And I'm 5'3", 108 pounds.
What was that, 34C?
24.
Well, let's give her a round of applause.
That's very nice.
Thanks for all that information. That's wonderful.
That's very nice. Before we ask you about sex, let me give you a sex quiz.
Okay.
This is a quiz that we give all people on this show.
Celebrities, brothers, family members, it doesn't matter.
My brother just took this quiz.
Okay.
You know what I bet? I said this might be our first 14 for 14.
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever been in a three-way or had group sex?
Yes, I have.
Have you ever had sex while menstruating?
Yes, I have.
Have you ever had a lesbian experience?
Yes, I have.
Have you ever made love in your parents' home?
In my parents' home?
Yes.
Yes.
Have you ever enjoyed hot interracial sex?
Yes.
Have you ever J-O'd in front of others?
Well, in front of another, in front of others. Others meaning more than one?
I think the answer is yes.
Yes.
Have you ever had sex in a public place?
Yes.
Have you ever been filmed or photographed while having sex?
Yes.
Have you ever had sex in the no-no?
Yes.
You know what I mean. Do you swallow?
Yes.
What is your total number of sexual partners?
Oh, gosh.
You can get, it could be an estimate.
I say like 43.
43. Mm-hmm. Very good.
Have you J-O'd today?
Yes.
Have you ever had sex in a car?
Of course.
Have you ever had a one-night stand or sex with a stranger?
Duh.
Okay, I believe that's 14 for 14.
Do I win a prize?
This is a new record, isn't it, Buzz? Grand prize winner, 13 for 13 and 43 partners.
Way to go, Doc!
I think perhaps the only other person we've ever had on this show with as high a score was Greg Brady. Yeah, Greg Brady might be a close second, though. That's Dr. Natasha. She has absolutely, raised the bar for every future sex quiz taker.
Although, didn't Greg Brady say that he had sex with over 100 women?
Yeah, he had, in fact, more than that. Yes. He had sex with many, many women.
Wow, doctor, you're bad. You're bad girl.
I'll tell you, I think
Hey, but I'm a sex researcher, sex therapist.
I think you're qualified.
Like I have to know a lot about these experiences to be able to talk about them, to be able to teach, and be able to make other people comfortable with their sexuality.
So when you met with Mick Jagger to explain to him how to have multiple orgasms and find the G-spot, at any time did you actually end up having sex with him to demonstrate it yourself?
Well, because what happened is that, we hung out for a while, and instead of, I didn't, take money for the therapy. Instead, we actually became friends, and I ended up going out with him. Oh. So that's what happened there.
And you had sex with him?
So, yes, I did.
How would you rate old Mick as a lover?
Orally, perfect 10 plus plus plus.
Wow.
Sexually, it's just okay. I'd say 1 to 10, 10 being awesome, about a 3.
Oh, really?
Wow. So he's just a 3 on straight sex intercourse?
Yeah, because, and I say most guys are, because most guys, when you're doing regular sex, you're not hitting any of our hot spots. You're not hitting the C spot, which is on the outside, or the G spot, which is on the inside.
The C spot.
Just doing that in and out motion, and that's never going to hit any of our hot spots or bring us to orgasm, unless you learn how to tweak your technique and angle it a certain specific way.
And then kind of go sideways,
that
right?
You rub on our hot spots. No, you go up and down, or
and down. Uh-huh.
You put something that vibrates on the C spot, or you manipulate it with your hands or your fingers during sexual intercourse.
Honey, that's so much work.
It's really, you know what? Once you know how to do it, it's so easy.
Oh my God, you have to go to boot camp to do that.
Tell me about...
No, you guys, I have been producing videos for the last 10 years, and I have a bestseller called From the Other Side of the Bed, and it's for you guys. It's a woman. It's about a woman's innermost secrets, and it teaches you everything you need to know in 1 hour and a half. Very graphic. Okay. Everything you need
very
to
graphic?
Know to please a woman.
I'll watch it.
How come we always
and
have...
And how to get that male multiple orgasm working.
How come whenever we have these guests on the show, they're always telling us what we're doing wrong?
And how come when we have sex experts on the phone, when they look like Raquel Welch? I'd like to have, we've had two sex experts in here.
Down here.
And if we've got one that finally looks like Raquel Welch, I'd like her to come in here.
Well, I'll come in there.
Where are you, in California?
Yep, in Palisades, California.
Okay, now for another plug, you can give your website out again. Tell me, how can I have multiple orgasms?
Okay, well, there's a method. There's a specific technique, and what you do is you learn to peek yourself, and this is all in the video, step by step, because by my explanation, I doubt you'll get it right.
But give me a try.
Well, you learn to peek yourself, and your partner can help you with this, and this is one of those techniques that brings you together and makes you more connected. So you learn to peek yourself by right when you get close, a couple of seconds before you get really close to climaxing.
Yes.
She takes one of her left hand and squeezes the base. And her right hand and makes a ring with her thumb and her forefinger around a very specific area at the top.
Is that at the base of the twig or behind the berries?
Yes. She's talking about
the base.
One at the bottom and one right by the top.
Okay. And one at the top under the what's called the ridge, the coronal ridge.
Right.
And then she squeezes that, holds it down for 10 seconds, and then you do this several times, and eventually you will learn how to, I'd say by the third time you'll learn how to have experience orgasm without ejaculation. It's very intense. It's very euphoric. And
then when you finally geesh, does that make it all the more powerful when you
absolutely
finally do that?
Absolutely.
So it's like just an amazing one?
Absolutely. When you finally do it, it's just like, oh my God. And it's a build-up. It's much more intense, and there's much more, and it's everything.
Yuck.
More.
I'm noodling this through, no offense, Doc.
Why does that gross you out a little bit?
Well, because basically, what she's telling, in this case, my wife to do, is like, she got a rubber band virtually, and just to hold on, and make sure that nothing comes out
for 10 seconds.
Hand trick.
For 10 seconds.
For 10 seconds, and every time that's done, that's another orgasm?
Another time.
At a certain point, are you able to do it without any assistance?
Absolutely.
Oh, my God.
After you have them and you're familiar with the experience, you're able to have it during sex, actually. She can strengthen her muscles downtown and get them so strong that she can actually elicit that response just by purely using her vaginal muscles.
My
that is intense.
God.
All right.
I mean, have you ever learned or heard of any of this stuff?
Well, I think we had one guy. Wasn't there? There's a doctor that came in. Another guy that was in here. And
we've heard tales like this before.
Tales.
Yarns, legends,
bits of fancy like
Babels. Yeah, it's pretty handy. But
I'll have to send you some of my videos, guys, because it's
you should.
Hulk.
Yeah, send a lot of them.
Okay.
Send a bunch.
Are you in the videos?
Yes, I am, but just in an educational way. But I hire lots of eye candy, lots of beautiful couples to be in them and demonstrate all the techniques.
And they're very graphic?
Well, these from the other side of the bed, for him and for her, these particular ones are very graphic, okay?
Dr. Natasha, is that you shirtless on the website?
Probably, yes.
Oh, okay.
The brown-haired girl.
All right, yes, that's you. Then.
How's she look, Buzz?
Very, very good.
Thanks. Very hot?
Very nice.
Very,
yes,
see,
very
we don't
hot
have the web in our studio, just in Buzz's studio.
I think it's delightful that a sexpert is a turbo hottie. I think that's good.
A not turbo that, hottie.
Not
thank
the,
you.
Not that all of our sexperts haven't been
please
turbo hotties.
Take a look at Laura Korn.
No, I don't look like that.
Thank you. Thank you for that.
Not at all.
What is your website, Doc?
Okay. Well, the way that you get the videos is by calling. This is funny. It's a funny number. It's 800-GSPOT-99. The website is incrediblesex.com. Everything I sell comes with all the videos. If you don't learn something new, or if you're not able to give that special lady in your life the big O, every single time you make love to her after watching my material, I will give you 100% of your money back. You cannot go wrong with that.
But let me ask you, do you have to work like a slave?
No, the thing is when you
get that done.
These videos are so hot that it's going to make sex fun again for both of you. She'll be chasing you around the house to try one of these things on her, and then it's the domino effect. You try something cool on her.
You know, she brings to the table with Korn and Hayden before her heaven, and that's that she's in some of these videos.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so
that's very cool.
We got a guy I've been in Playboy before.
You've been in Playboy?
Uh-huh.
Really?
I'm
really
got to be honest. I'm 34. I did Playboy when I was 30 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And again, it was one of my ideas to... I sent him a letter and I said, hey, why don't you do a segment on women of the internet? And they liked the fact that I was a sex therapist. And
in 34, you're at your sexual prime right now.
Well, no, I think I've been peaking since I was about 25. The more comfortable you are about with your sex life, with your body, the more primed you are. So you can bring on that prime at any time. I counseled a couple yesterday who had just gotten married. And the girl was 23, the guy was 32, and she didn't have a clue how her body worked. And therefore, she had never had an orgasm, and she'd already had something like 12 different partners. She'd never had an orgasm during sex. So I was there to help them, teach her about her body.
What do you do, stand next to the bed while they're doing that, or what?
No, I gave
do you
them,
participate?
Well, I sat there while they watched the videos in case they had any questions.
Mm-hmm.
And then after that, I gave them exercises to do, and I taught them how to find the G-spot and things like that. And, boom, I'm talking within 10 minutes.
You bang Charlie Sheen?
This couple was able to do all that. Yes, they did.
You did?
Actually, I went out with him, yes.
Yes.
And how was...
And then there's another one.
How was he?
Been with tons of... Oh, he was great. He'd been with tons of women and still didn't know where the G-spot was and was always was afraid to ask.
Was he a 10 orally?
No, actually, orally, I'd say he was about a 5, but for intercourse-wise, I'd say he was a 10 plus, plus, plus. And well, here's another one. I mean, Charlie's great, but it's so funny how people think they're really good at something, and a lot of women don't have the heart to tell him that they're just, okay.
Mm-hmm.
I thought he was really good at oral sex, but I didn't have the heart to tell him that, it's okay. But then later on I did. And he was like, you're the only one that kind of said that.
So you made him a better man for oral pleasure.
I believe in total honesty. I mean, I can take criticism, but most women will lie to you in bed. They will lie to you. Rather, they find it easier to lie to you and fake with you than tell you the truth.
Who's the worst celebrity who's ever given you oral? Who's worse than Charlie Sheen? Who's the worst celebrity that's ever given you oral?
I can't think of one. I don't think no, he was good. He was good.
But a five, when you're giving Mick a 10 there.
Who was worse than, was anybody worse than Charlie Sheen?
No. And like I said, he was good. He just wasn't the best.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess some civilian.
How was Regis Philbin?
You don't know. Oh, gross. Regis.
Oh, gross.
Can you hold on? I have to do a break. And
okay.
I think we have people who would like to talk to you.
Okay.
So hold on. We will put this doctor on hold.
Dr. Natasha.
Okay. And we'll have some more sex talk.
Very good.
And also, this will give us a chance to go in the next room and check out the picture of her on the web.
Yeah, you might hear us come back with a totally different tone.
Be right back.
This is the Dawn and Mike Show.
411.
It's another Don and Mike Las Vegas-style show. Don't miss out on the legendary fun and the top-notch adult entertainment. And now, here's Timmy O'Baldene to tell you more.
Wednesday, July 26th, the Don and Mike Las Vegas-style show comes to Element right in my hometown, Washington, D.C. Element is right by the MCI Center at 714 6th Street Northwest. There's plenty of parking. Or take the red line to Gallery Place. Doors open at 5, show starts at 8. And you got to be 21 to get in. For more info, 301-840-8793 or check out clubelement.com.
The Don and Mike Las Vegas style show.
For the girls, the less clothes, the better.
Don't miss it.
Thank you, Timmy. Time for a couple quick station breaks. Sacramento, California, radio station KHTK. Anchorage, Alaska, 94.7 KADX. Green Bay, WNFL, and York City. Every night on WNEW.
The best reason not to drive your little Mercedes convertible into the abutment. The Don and Mike Show.
Every night on WNEW, delivering a massive 1.1% audience share.
Can you hear that? That's the earth shaking.
You hear that?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, we have Dr. Natasha Terry on the line. We just looked at her website.
Oh, yeah.
She's hot.
She's super hot.
She's really hot.
Mm-hmm.
Nice boobs. Nice face.
Hottest sexpert we've ever had on the show.
Kind of looks like, what's that actress's name? It's Gina
Davis?
No.
Gershaw?
No. Not Gina Davis. Gina Davis is a pig.
Gina Gershaw?
Gina Gershaw.
Yes, yeah,
kinda,
absolutely.
Kind of looks like her.
Little Ally McGraw in her younger days, too.
Yeah, she's cute. Mm-hmm. And I was scrolling down on the website and saw the part where it says you can download some kind of, I guess, streaming video to see her nude bungee jumping and also see her riding an elephant nude.
Wow.
Excellent.
Is that right? Are you there, Doc?
Yes.
What was it like riding an elephant nude?
Well, no, I mean, that's kind of a joke. But what we did was we're shooting documentaries, sex around the world, and we went to Bangkok. And
so to speak.
Naked. Mm-hmm. Since I never get naked for any of my videos for a joke, we just put that on there. My manager bet me $5,000 to bungee jump naked in the jungles of Thailand, and I did it. Mm. So.
Have you bungee jumped fully clothed before?
No, never have.
So your first bungee jump was totally naked?
Yes, it was.
Mm.
When you work with these celebrities, are they mainly actors, or have you had sex therapy with musicians?
Well, I counsel pretty much all walks of life.
Okay, give me another one besides Mick Jagger, another famous musician.
Let's see. Well, there's some that you wouldn't know that aren't as famous as them.
Have you ever counseled sloppy, fat, ugly people?
Yes, I have.
Have you ever worked with Kevin James from TV's King of Queens?
No.
Really? Spielberg?
No. I mean, the rest, you wouldn't know the rest.
We wouldn't know.
So big.
Charlie Sheen and Mick Jagger, there at the top of your food chain?
Yeah. I mean, let's see, Oliver Stone. But these are, you know, those are the ones that you would know.
You still friends with Mick and Charlie Sheen?
Charlie.
Charlie, not Mick?
Mm-mm.
How come not with Mick?
Because you know what, an article came out about a year ago, and I guess it was having trouble with his ex, and you know, I mean, it just came out, so he got a little mad about that. But
well, it came out that you were involved with him.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, here's a call for you. Let's go to Johnny. Johnny.
Yeah.
Johnny, buddy.
Hi, Johnny. Hi, Natasha. I got your video from Baltimore, a Baltimore radio station.
Uh-huh.
It's a good video.
Which one? I have 20, so.
It starts off, okay, from the other side of the bed.
Okay.
All right, it starts off with them doing the massaging, and it works great.
Did you get the woman?
I told you about this before.
Okay.
My wife and I, we've been together 10 years now. We've been married for 8, and I still can't give her an orgasm. No matter what, I go down there for an hour. I come up with lockjaw. I could touch her stomach. I could feel what she ate the
night before. Okay, hold on. I got rid of that guy. Listen, hold on. I got rid of him.
Yeah, he broke the rule of mentioning another radio station.
Right. Let me try another call for you, Doctor. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Radio God, how's it going today?
Hi, it's going great, thank you.
That was Johnny Dark.
Yes, actually, I ordered the same video that he did.
Uh-huh.
Johnny Walker. Yeah.
I had ordered the same video that he did, and everything she says in there, if you follow the techniques to a T, you should not have a problem. Just pay attention to what you're doing. She does know her stuff.
Anything.
That's, thank you, and that's part of the deal is that you have to, you can't miss one step. You can't blow off one step, or it will not work.
Honey, listen, this is the whole problem that I have with your entire genre.
Uh-huh.
I think that generally, guys like to stick it in and do it.
And finish.
No, you're right, and that is part of the problem. But they're also very goal-oriented, and then after making love to the same woman, you know, for a while, you're going to want her to have an orgasm.
No, I'm not. I've been married to the same woman.
And you don't care?
I've been married to the same woman. I have this conversation with every sexpert we have on the show.
Yes, you do.
I've been married to the same wonderful woman for 20 years. We have sex all the time. I would say the ratio of orgasms is maybe 100 to 1.
Mm-hmm.
For every 100 I have, she has one. And I have no guilt about that at all.
And she doesn't care?
That's fine. You know, she says to me, it's a lot of work.
Not if you order that video. If you order her video and
shut
follow
up, please,
it, she says,
stupid
you will have no problem.
Can we just shut up? Let me talk to
the
doctor,
please.
Time. Pardon me?
It'll cut down on the time that it takes her to have it, instead of being an hour or 45 minutes.
What would be a good... Yeah, let's say you do watch this video and you decide to use the technique and you're in a hurry. Mm-hmm. What's the minimum time requirement?
Good question.
I'm asking this for certain individuals I know. What's the minimum time requirement?
Certain individuals are both sitting in this room right now.
Absolutely. This wouldn't be for Don or myself. I'm just curious. You know, what is the least amount of time that you could achieve the goals set out in the video?
Well, you can fine-tune a woman's body to be just like yours, and she can achieve it in 5 minutes, 30 seconds. But, you know, it takes a little bit of work to fine-tune it. I mean,
okay, but I mean, you can do the technique and watch this video, get your technique, and maybe if you're you know, right on the money, you can do it in maybe a minute and a half.
You could. It's possible, definitely.
Mm-hmm. Well, see, that's the whole thing that I give with men and women.
But I think men and women are similar, where sometimes you're both into each other, you both have a moment, but you know something, you're going somewhere, like maybe to a party over the weekend, and you want to do it quickly. And you want to get it done quickly, just because of, you know, there might be children running around and you've got the door locked. You might have somewhere to be. You might just have, but you want to get
Welcome
it done quickly.
Welcome inside the mind of Mike O'Mara.
Right. Well, we also show you ways of, that I guarantee it'll happen in that minute and a half. If you don't want to do it a little bit naturally, in all the positions, whatever position.
No. Not naturally. Like, I'm not
no,
going.
No. This is what I mean. It's all natural.
I'm not going down there with a machine, honey.
No, but listen, there's a little toy called the pocket rocket.
Say
it's about
the pocket rocket.
Lipstick case.
No, you know what? That is,
don't
that
put it inside. But so whatever position you're in, you just rest it against your C-spot. Boom, 30 seconds, instant orgasm.
Are you not sell? Time. Do you sell the? Now I know you
I
don't like the toys.
Bringing,
I'm not averse to toys.
I am not bringing toys into my bedroom.
What does the pocket rocket cost?
I don't know, like $19.
$19, and you sell it?
Yeah, on the website. Mm-hmm.
When you send us the videos, throw a pocket rocket in there.
Okay. No, they work.
For me, care of Mike.
So good.
Care of Mike.
Okay.
Absolutely. I'll accept that. You know,
I'll
you know,
accept
just,
one of those.
And just put magic marker for Mike on it.
But that's one way. And see, the thing is that the more orgasms a woman has, the easier it will be for her to have them on a regular basis.
Yeah,
the more a woman self.
Should meet my wife.
The more she masturbates to herself to orgasm, the easier it's going to be when she's with you.
So I'm constantly telling her to do that.
You can always encourage her to self-pleasure with a toy like the pocket rocket, or she can watch the video herself, learn some new techniques, and self-pleasure. She's just, the more she has, the more she'll be able to have, and the quicker she'll be able to have them.
All right. Well, all of those are valid points, I guess.
Absolutely.
And your website, again, is
IncredibleSex.com.
That's good. I bet there were a lot of people. I bet you got that a long time ago, didn't you?
Yeah, I did.
Yeah. Okay, well,
and I just got a new one called LoveTeacher.com, which they'll merge in the near future.
LoveTeacher.
And have double the information.
Right, we've got about a million web hits today after you were on the show. So please send us your videos and send Mike the
pocket shovel thing. And come by and visit us when you're in the Washington, D.C. area.
Yeah. And for those that aren't on the web, though, all you got to do is call the 800 G-Spot 99 number for the videos from the other side of the bed.
Beautiful. Thank you.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
That's Dr. Natasha Terry.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Right.
Sure.
You immediately got turned out. There they are. Yes, they are. Whore. Right. Okay. Interesting. Yeah, she was. She's the hottest expert we've ever had on the show.
She is. She's very cute.
Yes.
There's no doubt about it. She's very cute.
Mm-hmm.
But they all come with basically the same rap. You know what I mean? They've all got the same spiel. Well, you got to work harder. You got to manipulate down there. You got to, you know, tie a rubber band around the top of your thing so that you don't explode.
But if it pays off for you too, then you know why not?
But Buzz, it pays off for me every time.
Well, that's true, but it could pay off, you know, more.
How could it possibly pay off more than me having an orgasm?
You'd have to try it and see.
I don't know, Buzz. I'm very much into me being gratified.
Well, the one thing she was talking about though was supposedly to make the male part of the equation better, if you did that. Mm. But it would require a lot of work, a lot of effort. A lot of effort you're not willing to spend.
Right. Goodbye.
And me, you know, the only difference between you and me, I'm with you all the way. Me. But I'm not averse to modern technology. I'll bring a little something in for fun.
No way.
Yeah.
Not bringing any fake thing in my room. Big machine.
You go back to you're a Quaker. You're Amish when it comes to sex. You don't want to go to any electronic devices.
Turn that baby on.
buzzing. What are you showing me?
It's only about this big. It's maybe 4 inches long.
And you got it?
No. He saw it on the website, right? I've seen them, you know, in stores and such.
The pocket rocket?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Buzz is our own sexpert right here.
Go there if you wish.
Well, I will. I'm going to get it, you know. It's going to be 2 mic.
There you go.
That's a pocket rocket.
That's a big pocket rocket.
There it is right there. Hi, Frida. I'm home. I'm ready for sex.
I don't think I'm doing this for my wife. I'll tell you right now, if I enjoy the pocket rocket, I'll bring it in during the show.
What, do you use it on yourself?
Be in my pocket. You won't know.
Jesus. All right. Well, she was hot, and I love talking about sex. So she was definitely good talking about the guys, the famous guys that she had sex with.
Pretty incredible.
So more power to her.
Go to the website, which is incrediblesex.com.
Hello. Don and Mike show.
Except Charlie Sheen. I mean, is there anybody who hasn't had sex with Charlie Sheen?
Yeah. Could I talk to Don, please?
Yes, I'm here, honey.
Don, you must be the world's worst lay.
Thank you.
How can you don't like anything? You don't like feet. You don't like the butt. You don't like toys. You don't like experimenting. You don't.
No. You know what I like? I like straight sex. Me on the bottom, her on top. That's what I like.
But that's so
and for
boring.
Your information, I'm a great lay. Just because I don't want to do it with your feet or do it in your butt or pull out some big Johnny Ring Dong thing, you know, doesn't mean I'm not a good lay.
But it's not wanting to do it in the butt. I mean, you don't even want to look. You don't even want to touch. You don't want to.
No, honey, that's right. That's where my BMs come out of.
Oh, sweetie, but you don't know what you're missing. I mean,
honey, listen, you know what you need to do? You need to come to my house at the beach, and you need to see the raw sewage that came up out of my sink today, and then you tell me that you want to have sex in the butt.
I'm not saying that you have to have sex in the butt. I'm saying you don't even like to do it doggy style because you don't want to look at it.
No, I don't. Right, I don't.
Oh.
I don't. But I would be the best lay you ever had.
I don't think so.
I think so. I think that if you have to do all that other stuff, then there's something wrong with you. If you don't like just regular, straight sex, if you have to do this other stuff to make it palatable for yourself, then you're the one with the problem, honey. You keep doing it with your feet and doing it with your butt and standing up on your head.
With your feet, honey.
I use my feet.
Thank you. I know you use your feet. Right. You're a freak.
Just experiment, sweetheart.
Honey, listen, I'm very happy.
You know what? I love you calling her honey and she calling you sweetheart. Honey, sweetheart, baby. Baby, honey, sweetheart.
Baby, listen, everything's fine.
Yeah, baby.
Don't worry about me.
You sound like Edmund.
All right, baby.
Oh, baby.
I just want to make sure that you're getting the most for your bang for your buck.
Honey, every time I have sex, I hit a home run.
You do. Yes, you do. You make that very clear.
How could I not?
And you're very honest about that. But
how could I not be satisfied with my sex life? I am. Every time I have sex, I hit a grand slam home run.
That's a grand slam.
And I'm happy for you.
Thank you.
It clears the fences. It's a record set. It's a 450-footer.
Yeah. Well, let's put it this way. What if you and your wife did get divorced? And you were out there in the market again?
I'm not getting divorced, honey. I'm married to her till death.
She could die.
If she died, then I would marry Leah Remini.
TV's
Leah Remini.
Right now, I don't think she'd go with your
I want to tell you right now that I've had a discussion with Leah on this show about sex. And do you know that her boyfriend Angelo is a member of my camp? That he gets it done very quickly. She told us that on the radio.
So that is your plan. I didn't know that was your you've got it all laid out.
I gotta have a backup plan.
Yeah, that's good. Very good.
Just in case.
Well, he's got a backup plan, but it's very narrow. I mean,
right. One TV star. If anything, God forbid, should happen to my wife, my partner for life, I would go be with Leah Remini.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
A wonderful TV star, 11 years your junior, is your backup plan if anything goes wrong.
Yes.
I think you're limiting yourself and you're very close-minded, and that if that doesn't work out, and let's just say that you were out in the dating scene again.
Honey, that's never going to happen. Listen, what do you care? You know what really turns me on? What really turns me on is when Cunny's just shut up. That's what really turns me on more than anything. So if you really want to turn me on, just please shut up. Just go ahead and do it with your feet and do it in the butt. I don't care how you do it. I'm happy.
I'm glad you're happy.
Good.
Okay.
Okay, but what I'm saying is that...
We might as well, before this continues, we have to get the celebrity you most resemble, ma'am.
Yeah. I guarantee she's a pig.
Who is the celebrity you most resemble?
I've been told a young Debbie Reynolds.
That's interesting.
Okay.
That's interesting.
Right.
A young Debbie Reynolds.
Okay. Well, listen, why can't you just let it go? If you have great sex, I'm happy for you. I have great sex, be happy for me.
I'm very happy for you. I'm just a little sad for your wife.
Well, don't worry about my wife. She's fine.
Okay.
Okay? Why don't you worry a little bit more about your own relationship?
All right. My love, if you're happy, I'm happy.
Well, I'm very happy, and my wife's very happy.
What was it, my love she gave you there? My love, honey, sweetheart.
I love Don.
Well, I love you, too.
I love everything about you. I listened to you when I was living in Chicago
Thank you.
20 years ago.
Appreciate that. Thank you very much.
I feel the love here.
And I was so surprised when I moved to Virginia and I found you on the radio here. I'm just delighted.
Well, good. Well, listen, if anything happens to my wife, I'll give you a call.
Okay.
I'll bang you.
Okay.
Okay.
It's a deal.
Bye-bye.
Hey, sweet.
Bye.
But not in the butt. And not with the feet.
Okay, I wouldn't make you do anything you didn't want to do.
See, look at that.
See, with all that hard time she was giving you, it comes down to that. She wants you.
Yeah, you want it. Okay, thank you. Goodbye.
Bye-bye.
That's why that whole thing was there. That was the whole, that's like, the little thing, the exercise. That's
young Debbie Reynolds, my ass. I guarantee that's Carney Wilson. I guarantee you. A girl that wants me, she got to be a pig.
Not necessarily.
With the exception of my beautiful wife.
Mm-hmm.
Hello.
Yeah, your wife's no pig.
My wife is gorgeous.
Turbo hottie.
My wife is beautiful. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
I'll always agree with you, Don. It's an exit, not an entrance.
Thank you.
I don't know if you've talked about this already, but the Washington Post article today that spoiled Survivor.
Listen, okay, we did discuss this. You have to remember, the Washington Post and all of these other newspapers that are announcing that Jervis is the winner of Survivor, they're going off an internet report.
Right.
I mean, you can't believe it.
No, you really can't. And nobody would be more happy if it was Jervis, because I wouldn't have to eat bugs. But this is like the third internet report with different individuals.
You know,
and then the lady that called and said Richard was throwing the big gay parties.
Yeah, right. I mean, every time someone comes out and says they're positive that they know who the last person is, somebody else comes out and says they've got something that says that they're positive they know who it is.
And nobody knows better than me about this not to get excited about it. Absolutely.
Right. Gotcha.
Thank you.
Repeat something you already talked about. Sorry.
That's okay. We don't mind talking about it again. The only thing that gets me mad is that you believe what you read in that fish rag.
Mm-hmm.
You know, which all they're doing is repeating something that they got off a website.
Right.
Gotcha.
The only thing I believe in one of those publications, if there's a big ad, says, Pocket Rocket Works.
Thank you.
Bye.
Mike O'Mara, my picture. Big grinning picture of me holding it.
It really works. Like a big Uncle Ben's picture. Like on Uncle Ben's rice.
The Pocket Rocket. It works. Like a 1950s style ad, you know? Like with me back in front of some big car holding the Pocket Rocket. In the car.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Yeah, hello there. Hey, Mike?
Yes?
Yeah, I was reading on the internet that the Red Sox win the World Series this year.
There you go.
See? And there is a perfect example.
There you go.
Right. Absolutely.
Right. Thank you.
Right on.
All right, goodbye, everybody. Thank you, Doctor. Thank you, Connie. We will be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Everybody loves Don and Mike.
You can call Don and Mike anytime, toll free, at 1-877-365-3636. That's 1-877-365-3636. They're ready to believe you.
You know, Beverly, golfers like to keep dirt and debris off their golf balls.
Oh, yeah.
Particularly when you're putting. They call me three-putt buck. That's why we have cleaning devices around the golf courses. You know, those things you squish up and down. Well, one golfer didn't use a wet towel or any cleaning device. He licked his balls clean.
You'll laugh until your uterus falls out. The Don and Mike Show.
That's the goal.
Yep.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hello.
Hello.
Don, I heard back in the 80s you got to bang a very hot, famous person.
Oh.
How did you ever get to bang Pat Benatar?
It's actually a very simple story.
Okay.
That I was the music director at a radio station when her first record came out and nobody was playing it. And we were one of the first stations to play it. And she came to the radio station, and she did an interview, and then she did a free concert. And then I banged her.
Was this in California?
No, this was in Indianapolis.
Oh.
Were you on the bottom when you banged her?
Always.
Always?
Always. I mean, I only banged her once.
But you were on the bottom?
Yes. That I remember.
In always, everyone?
Indianapolis Hilton. I worked at Windy and Indy, W-N-D-E.
On the bottom.
She was so hot back then, Donna.
No, she was not hot.
Oh.
I thought she was hot back then.
Yeah, I know too. I didn't even think so even when I did it.
Really?
Yeah.
But it was a, you know, she had those hit records.
Sure.
You know, hit me with your best shot.
And I remember the first guy that I told after I did it, of course, back then...
Was Surf, right?
There was no such thing as a cell phone. So I remember leaving the hotel and driving along and finding a payphone where I called it. I remember the disc jockey. His name is Booger Matthews.
You called Booger.
That I don't remember.
I called Booger Matthews to tell him that I had had sex with Pat Benatar.
He didn't
believe cool.
No, he believed it.
Oh.
No, she'd been around the radio station all day. And she'd been drinking also. Uh-huh. There was a lot of alcohol involved.
Party.
Oh.
Yeah, okay. Right.
Has Mike ever banged anybody famous?
Yes. I don't like to talk about it, though, because it's good to speak ill of the dead.
Well, go ahead. Who is it, Mike?
Ann Ramsey. I had her.
You know, throw
and
mama.
Nancy Marchand.
Throw mama from the train. Mm-hmm. And also the mom on The Sopranos.
Yeah, those two.
Oh, God.
Early in their career. And Eve Arden.
Oh. You know, I got so burned out on The Sopranos when it was on.
Mm-hmm.
And I got so mad with them when it was over, when it was done, that last night, I think on HBO 2, at about 10 o'clock, they had one on.
Yeah, they had one on last night.
And I started watching it, and I got into it all over again.
Mm-hmm.
It was the one where they had the executive club, the executive card club.
Oh, yeah. So they must have done that like 3 times this week.
With Frank Sinatra Jr.
My all-time favorite episode.
When the guy from the Terminator movies comes over, the guy who owns the hardware store.
Hey, come on, Tony. Our kids go to school together.
And then he slaps him around.
And he says, okay, give him 5 boxes of ZD.
The one line I picked up when they had Frank Sinatra Jr. there is when Paulie Walnuts looks at him and they're busting each other's balls, and one guy says, okay, cheer boy of the board.
And you know, at one point when they're sitting around playing cards, the guy who's in Bruce Springsteen's band, what's his name?
Ricky Van Zandt.
Right.
Steven Van Zandt.
He says, I wish my Guma was here.
Yes.
He does
very clearly.
He distinctly says, Gumar.
Gumar.
Meaning, you know, or he says, I should have gone to see my Gumar because he's losing.
Gumar, yeah.
Because he's losing money.
And he's the guy that the kids are warned about to not say anything when he's losing because he'll go nuts. And then he throws the food on the floor and says, hey, what are you doing? Clean it up, boy. Hey, come on.
Hello.
Boxes of ziti.
Hello, Dynamite.
Hello.
Hey.
Hey, buddy.
Hey, buddy.
I'm a little upset with you.
Why?
Well, you're taking it out on us poor people here in New Jersey over your ratings. We can't guess the secret sound?
That's right. You're on super double secret probation.
Why?
How would you be aware of that if you were listening on WNEW in New York? How would you be aware of something that was said earlier in the show when you would only be able to hear that if you were listening to the tape broadcast?
Toya told me.
Oh, you know what I bet? Did you call to play the game and she told you that you can't?
Yes, I did.
Okay.
Okay.
That makes sense.
See, so that's not fair 2 times because I did not hear you discuss it.
Well, that is a good lesson for you to learn, that life is not fair. And you know what else is not fair? What else
is not? I'm not getting a guess.
No. Well, what else is not fair is that we signed on in New York 3 months ago, and we have a 1.1 share, which is the most embarrassing thing you can imagine.
I don't think so.
I do.
Because in the beginning, I'll be honest with you, I thought you were kind of, it was different.
But then you acquired the taste. It takes a little while. It takes about 2 to 3 weeks to catch on, and once you do, now you're addicted, correct?
That's right. Mm-hmm.
Well, good. Well, what you have to do is...
I'm walking down the street, and I just keep going, everybody loves Don and Mike.
Well, what you have to do is now start to be the Johnny Appleseed of New York, because until those ratings go up...
You won't have your privileges.
Well,
right.
I think here in Fanwood, which we were discussing, where nobody knows where it is, I'm going to be doing you much service.
All right, thank you, my friend. Is there anybody named Hiller in your neighborhood?
Who?
Hiller?
Hiller?
Never mind. See, when you hear the show later, you'll know what I'm talking
That's
about.
That's Jersey, Don. He's calling from New Jersey.
Oh, he's not in Long Island?
No, not
Long
Island.
Right. Never mind. Yeah. We were talking about Hitler's relatives. See ya. Bye-bye.
That's it?
Give us better ratings than Well, a 1.1 is embarrassing, man.
Well, can I be like the last?
No.
No!
No. Absolutely not.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye. See ya.
There are privileges that might be returned at some time in the future.
Sure.
If we see evidence that people are really trying.
We get the monthly ratings every month.
Absolutely.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
After many years, I finally had to call from Sacramento today.
Okay.
I want to talk to Missionary Don Porno, which I believe would be your porno star name. And I just have this great image of you.
Listen to this guy. We just simply listen to this guy.
Missionary Don Porno?
I have this great image of you in your socks because you don't want nobody to see your feet.
Right.
You said several weeks ago you could only be a porn star or a disc jockey. And I just have this great image of you wearing your socks and coming into the room, no music, no candles, nothing, getting the business done and going.
This is a man who is upset.
I think I'm going to buy that porno flick. It doesn't do much for
him. He's as upset as the woman was.
Well, listen, get over it.
Well, it's just I just have this idea of you like having your underwear pulled down only in the front because you don't possibly want nobody to see you from the backside.
Want nobody.
And,
well, listen, for your information, I do take my underpants off when I have sex. I take them all the way off.
Well, I'm not gay. I'm sick. Not that there's anything wrong with
it. What are you sick with?
Just got a cold, I guess. But
always a start.
Uh-oh.
Anyway, you guys, I love you guys. I listen to you every single day here in Sacramento. And,
thank you.
Keep up the good work.
Thank you. See you. Bye-bye.
Get well.
I have a porno name for Don. It's Mercenary Donnie Porno. Whatever the hell that was.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Or Missionary Donnie Porno.
Now is it Missionary?
Mercenary.
I did a picture with your socks on.
And then the underwear just pulled down in the front.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, Mike.
Yes.
Mike, there's a cafeteria here in Wichita that does have all-you-can-eat steak night on Friday night.
How is it?
I haven't tried it yet. I've got to work on Friday night.
Do you actually get to go in there and have as many steaks as you want? Because really, they might tell you that it's all you can eat steak night, and then you'll go in and you can order one steak and get, like, all the other stuff, you see.
No, it's steak on the banner, Friday nights, all you can eat steak night on the buffet.
All you can eat steak. That's fantastic. How much does it cost?
I think it was $6.95.
Whoa!
I'm sure it's real quality meat.
Good thing. Hey, I'll eat Trigger for that price.
I won't give the restaurant's name, but the other listeners from Wichita may know it's on North Rock Road up on 96 Highway.
And you don't know the name of the place?
Well, I can give you the name. It's Ryan's Cafeteria.
Oh, Ryan's Cafeteria. I was there last time I was in Wichita.
Sure sounds like a quality place.
It's Bob Ryan's place. He's a weatherman here in Washington, but he owns the buffet place out in Wichita.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hello.
Hello.
Yeah, Mike forgot Shirley Hemphill.
You always forget Hemphill, Mike. Mm-hmm.
The love of his life, mother of his love child.
Now, I don't like to do this.
I always forget Hemphill.
Why do we have to do this?
Because they asked if you'd ever had sex, but with Shirley, you made love.
That's right. Thank you, Rob.
Rob, that's what you always told me.
You always take care of me in that regard, and thank you. You know, that's taking something very ugly, like this woman wanted to do, and, you know, everybody else wanted to do, and turning it into something beautiful.
Hello.
And, she will be missed.
Time to make show.
But our love child, Sinbad, is still doing very well.
There's that orangey skin colored boy.
Yes, Sinbad.
Oh, by the name of Sinbad.
Sinbad, who's got mom's talent and dad's talent and doing great. Mm-hmm. I haven't seen him lately in a movie, though.
No.
I hope it picks up.
Not since First Kid. How sad is that I know the name of Sinbad's last movie?
He makes quality films.
Hello.
Hi, Don. Mike, how you doing?
And of course, Jingle All the Way, his fiesta de resistance.
That's great. I mean, tell me he didn't carry Schwarzenegger in that.
Hello.
Hey, you're talking about that Ryan's place? That's actually, I think, if it's the same Ryan's I'm thinking of, it's a chain. There's one up in Pennsylvania, and it is like the biggest human grazing restaurant I've ever seen in my entire life.
Oh, just back off.
Hello.
Human grazing.
Not in my show.
Mr. Fancy
Pants. Hey, how you guys doing, man? I just want to talk to you a little bit about New York. I know you're tired of it, but... And, you know, but the thing about the Don...
It's always a great way to start a call, isn't it? Hey, I want to talk about New York. I know you're sick of talking about it,
but I want to talk about it.
You're going to love it. But the thing I love most about your show is I know that I can call at any time and participate, you know. The best of Don and Mike is great, and I have to feel like the listeners in New York have to be thinking, man, I'm just listening to a recorded show. You got to get on live, I think, if you want to pull down at number one.
I disagree. I cannot think of another situation where the show would succeed... Except in New York, because they're hearing it simply 4 hours later.
Right.
We had to do anything we could do to get our foot in the door there.
Right. This was the availability. This is what we had.
That was the slot that they had open. Now, they've told us that when things happen down the road, when they move, you know, so-and-so to so-and-so, that we'd be moved into that slot when that slot is available. But, you know, 4 hours later,
one last
you know, what's the difference for somebody in New York listening to this show?
The only difference is that they can't actively call them. Well, they can actively call them.
And the nice thing is you're going to be able to stay up later on and listen to yourself on the radio. And, in a way, if you want people to hear you on the radio, it's almost an advantage. Because you can actually get off and say, hey, listen, I'm going to be on at such and such a time, do the math, and then sit back and listen with a bunch of friends.
You know, and we've not tried to hide it from the people of New York, the fact that we're operating on a four-hour delay. Mm-hmm. You know, we've just come out and told them, listen, call between 3 and 7. You know, they had some talks with us saying, don't mention that.
Mm-hmm.
That the people from New York would never even figure out that it's a tape delay show. But, you know, we can't lie to the audience.
No, we do that, all of a sudden we're going to be paying actors $200 to, to call the show.
And lying about our ratings.
Yeah, we don't want to do that.
We can't do that. Mm-mm. Hello, Don and Mike.
Are you talking to me?
Yes.
I'm calling from New York City, ironically. And I'm writing a movie. I'd like to know how you would feel about being in the film. It's a film about two career criminals, you and Mike, who own a hardware store as a front for their illegal activities. It's called Quick Grip.
Quick Grip.
I love it. Send me the treatment.
Send you the treatment?
Yes.
I will send you the treatment. And it's called Quick Grip because you torture people with Quick Grips.
That's cool. Send down the treatment. Send me a contract.
Here is the perfect example of someone from New York who's able to call us, not hearing the show now, but participating because he has something he wants to say to us.
Mm-hmm.
We have virtually accepted the deal for this film.
We've accepted it, but Don, our usual thing, we have to have co-star approval.
Now,
we have to be able to approve the woman that's going to be in there.
We can put Leah Remini in.
There you go.
She would work.
That'd be wonderful.
Yes. Now, where would I send this treatment?
Send it to Don and Mike Show, North Pole.
Uh-huh.
It always gets to us, just like Santa Claus.
Don and Mike Show, North Pole.
Right.
Is there a zip code there?
66666. No, really, you know what? People have actually... One time we actually did an experiment where people just put Don and Mike North Pole. The mail got to us.
Right.
Really?
Yes.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
You're not effing me, are you?
I'm not.
Don and Mike North Pole.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Mike, is he sir? Buzz...
Yeah,
that was funny.
They've really gotten mail addressed to the North Pole. Yes, everybody knows where the Don and Mike Show is.
Are you serious?
I'm serious.
Send it to us.
Elson.
And if you have trouble with that, just simply get an envelope and put Pennywise on it.
Thank you. Goodbye.
Thank you.
Thank you. Goodbye. Another satisfied customer from the Don and Mike Show.
North Pole, really?
Clear the lines. I'm going to call her 100 right now. Call Lisa, call Toya at 877-365-3636. We'll do a very quick secret sound. We come back, give you a chance to win $500 and a special guest right after this.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
I want everybody together to go ahead and say, penis, 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 vagina, vagina, vagina.
Geronimo Michael Mayer.
Wonderia. You're coming to the Vegas Style Show next Wednesday night.
Maybe they are.
A week from Wednesday, we will be at Club Element.
Sounds cool.
In D.C., right across the street from MCI Center.
Right.
Big free show. It's our way of saying thank you for listening. Thank you for making, at least here, the show number one rated.
Yes, sir.
Big show for you, too. The return of Dennis Murphy, the stage presence that is Dennis Murphy.
Yes, so you can all come out and wish him well.
Also, the nude feud.
Mm-hmm.
Also, the underwear fashion show.
Yay.
And, for the first time ever, Feces of the Species.
You got it. Feces of the Species.
All of that next Wednesday night. A big free show at Club Element. You got to be 21 to get in.
I screwed it up. I said species.
In D.C., right across from MCI Center.
Right.
We will hit the stage at about 8:30, 9 o'clock next Wednesday night. We'll see you there, and as always, saying thank you for listening. Hello.
Hello.
Don and Mike. Hello. Who's this?
Doreen.
Doreen, where are you from?
I'm from Southern Maryland. Don't make fun of it.
Never, Doreen.
Mm-mm.
You have won the Nick at Night prize pack.
All right. It's kids. What is it?
It's a three-hour block party every night at nothing. 8 Central on Nick at Night. It's Lucy Sunday, Andy Monday, Gilligan Tuesday, Hillbilly Wednesday.
Yeah.
And Brady Bunch Thursday. I don't know what it is. It's a bunch of Nick at Night stuff.
Cool.
And we
love it.
We love Nick at Night. Thank you. Now, you ready to go for $500?
I'm ready.
Okay.
I think I know what it is.
See, that's what I like to hear.
Yeah.
That's what I like to hear.
That's confidence, and it makes the game more pleasurable for us.
Even, you know, your sounds have all been sounding alike.
We've heard that.
Mm-hmm. I know. Okay.
They're not,
I think
though.
I got it.
All right, good luck. We'll play you the sound now. Please don't answer until Mike sings like...
Robert Goulet.
And we wish you, of course, Godspeed.
Caller, name this sound.
That one definitely sounds different than the last one.
It does.
The last one, which was the telescoping antenna from a boombox or a transistor radio. That's what it was, honey.
And the odds are in my favor. Yes!
Yeah!
Oh, yes.
Okay, you ready?
What is it?
Is it the sound of the push button on a microwave oven to open the door?
Would you please repeat that?
Don't mess with me now. Is it the sound when you push that push button in on a microwave oven?
No. But I want to tell you, this sound that we have sounds just like the sound of a microwave door. Robbie, isn't that one of the sounds that we listen to?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. It sounds just like it.
I thought I had it.
But that's not what it is. That is an excellent guess.
Very good guess.
Excellent guess. Thank you.
Okay.
And don't forget that every guess is a clue
for you.
For you. And perhaps in a roundabout way, I've given you a clue right there. Perhaps I have. Now, before we get to Buzz and the news, our big news, at least the largest story that we saw over the weekend... was the death of Meredith McCrae, who was one of the girls on Petticoat Junction.
Right. Billy Joe.
Here now, come and ride the little train. To comment on the death of Meredith McCrae. Everybody, please welcome Uncle Joe.
Wow.
Hey, Uncle Joe.
How are you doing? Fish, how are you doing? Good to see you.
Do you care she's dead?
Hell no.
Why?
I don't care about any of those bras.
What, do you think they're cunnies?
Yeah, all of them. I don't care about anybody. I only care about the people I care about on other shows.
You didn't think it was hot at the beginning of that show where they would all be... You know, and listen, they were bathing like at the town drinking water.
Yeah, I didn't think it was hot at all. It was all right. It didn't bother me. I didn't pay no attention to that right now. I just cared about other things on the show. You know what I mean? How are you doing today?
What else did you care about on the show if you didn't care for those three hot girls?
I cared about Sam Drucker. Sam Drucker is who I cared about on that show. He was my man. Sam Drucker and I were lovers for 8 years.
I didn't know.
Mr. Drucker, I loved him. His head was shaped like a penis. That's what attracted me to him in the first place. We had a great time in Hooterville.
You mean the guy who ran the general store was your lover?
Yeah, I'd go down to the general store and have a good old time right now with Mr. Drucker. I didn't care about Billy Joe, Bobby Joe, or Betty Joe. All those Joes. Get out of here. I'm the only real Joe. I used to say that to him all the time. I'm the real Joe, and I like men. That's the way it goes.
Amazing.
All the sitcoms.
What about...
Yes, sir.
That's our hook, incidentally, because you haven't picked up on that.
You're all gay.
That's our hook for everybody who was ever on a sitcom.
I don't care about the C's. I care about the P's.
Harry Morgan.
I want, absolutely.
Floyd the Barber.
Yeah, I did it with Floyd Smoot. And Homer Bedlow. Homer Bedlow, Floyd Smoot and I, and Sam Drucker all did it together.
Wow.
We got in a tub. We went up in that tower, you know.
So where were you when you heard about the untimely death of Meredith McCrae?
I was in the can. Taking a dump. Having a good time. That's what I do. That takes me about 4 hours. Total time commitment. I'm all by myself.
To have a nice BM?
Yeah, Mr. Drucker's gone. He left me. He's out of my life right now. I had a brief tryst with several younger men. Now I'm all by myself, so I was in taking a dump when I heard it on my transistor radio that I keep in the bathroom over the sink.
Do you have a telescoping antenna?
I got a telescoping antenna on it, and I live in one room. One single room. So the bathroom is actually my bedroom, too.
Do you still live in Hooterville?
I still live in Hooterville, but the hotel burned down.
What happened?
Yeah, somebody set it afire. One of my ex-lovers, he set it afire. And I said, go ahead. I hate you. I want you out of my life. Next thing I know, the whole place was up in the smoke. Everybody died.
So you were having a nice BM when you heard Meredith McCrae died?
I was having a BM. You know, they put in Hooterville, they put in a Motel 6. Huh. And I was having a BM there. Yeah. That's where I live now. I don't live in a one-bedroom place. I actually have a bathroom. It's a motel.
And how did you react when you were having your BM, when you heard on your transistor radio that Meredith McCrae was dead?
I finished. Didn't matter to me at all. Didn't matter. I don't care about the girls. Now, when Sam Drucker, when he bit the farm, that's when I was upset. That's when I cried like a little baby, curled up into a ball. If I'd been taking a BM, I would have stopped even in the middle of it. I would have really been upset, but I'll tell you right now, Mr. Drucker, now that was a real man. I don't care about any of those girls, Betty Joe, Bobby Joe, or Billy Joe. Hell with them all.
What about when June Lockhart was added to the cast?
She was all right, but she's still a girl. Doesn't interest me. Why a man has to go near those pretty smelling fancy daddy lassies? Doesn't. I like men. I like big strong men. I really. And when that pilot crashed. Now, that was good, but he crashed in Hooterville.
Steve, you mean?
Oh, man.
Steve the pilot?
I was so jealous. He liked girls. I was doing everything. I'd put extra Old Spice on when I'd wake up in the morning. I'd wear my pants up a little higher than I normally do. I'd wear a freshly pressed checkered shirt with my vest. And I'll tell you right now, I made goo-goo eyes at him. I asked him one time, I said, you want to come up to that tower where the water is, make bubbles? He wouldn't come up there with me. I'll tell you right now, I liked him.
Are you going to go to Meredith McRae's funeral?
Nope.
Why?
Don't have the money. I'm broke. Ever since the hotel burned down.
How do you manage to live at the Motel 6, though?
They give it to me for free.
Why?
I'm a tourist attraction. I take a metal chair and sit out in front of my hotel room. A tourist come by and they say, that's him. That's Uncle Joe. They walk by and go, hey, Petticoat Junction. I go, F you. And they laugh. They don't know I really mean it, though. F you. F them. F everybody.
And you really say the word. You don't just say F you. You say the word.
I say the word. I say, F you, MF-er. Wow. And they keep walking on, and I don't care about that right now. I don't care about much anything. I've gotten angrier and ornerier in my... You know, I used to be a sweet old codgery kind of guy. Now I got about a 3-4 day growth of beard most of the time, and I smell.
Yeah,
I don't smell.
Do.
I smell like my own issue.
Oh.
I do. I sit out in front of me. You should smell my motel room. Why do laundry? No need. No real need for it. So I got clothes that I've worn since 1983.
Is there any member of the Petticoat Junction cast that you've talked to since the untimely demise of... What's her name?
Yeah, Gunilla
Hutton. I've already forgotten her name.
Meredith, my friend.
Gunilla Hutton came by and visited me. I liked her name because it sounded like vanilla. I used to call her Gunilla Vanilla. And then one time when she was watching that show, McGilla Gorilla,
yeah.
I said, I'm watching McGilla Gorilla with Gunilla Vanilla. And she came by. She walked into my motel room and she couldn't stay because the smell was overwhelming. So I said, F you, go away. Then I hate all of them. I hate them all. So I don't feel any remorse about anything.
What about, was her name B?
B. Benaderet.
You know the old lady who was...
B. Benaderet?
Yeah.
Yeah, screw her. She didn't care for me and I didn't care for her. We actually got into fist fights. Both of us. We slap each other silly. And then one time Sam Drucker, he broke it up. He said, don't you treat him like that. Don't you treat him like that. And we went back to the store. We made love. We made man love. He's a great man, but he's gone now. It's just me in the motel and tourists. So they give me the food and drink for free, and I get my room for free. I shower once in a while, too. I do. I take a good shower.
Good. Yeah, good.
And I, what I do is when I shower, I take all my clothes off, and I put them in the tub with me when I take my shower, and that's how I wash my clothes. I stomp on them.
But do you have any kind of a parting wish or prayer for Meredith McRae?
Nope. Don't care.
Huh.
Don't care about any of it. See you later. I was the only real talent on this show. That's my message. The way I look at it, I'm all clear. Come down to Hooterville. Visit me. I'm like the local motel.
Thank you.
Hope it doesn't burn down. See you later, rappers.
Who knew?
Wow.
Uncle Joe.
What's the deal with that?
He's gay.
Gay and angry. He's angry and gay. Along with Colonel Potter, Uncle Charlie, Mr. French, Floyd the Barber, and now Uncle Joe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're
amazing.
All gay. They're amazing.
Right.
They're all gay.
Who knew you were keeping score, Buzz? It's time for the news in the comments right now.
In a world where owning a radio was strictly forbidden, one man found a way to bring good news to his people.
Buzz.
He made it up.
Okay, what you got tonight?
Tonight, has Survivor been spoiled already?
No, it hasn't.
Stay tuned. For news and comments.
News and comments.
Coming up on the Don and Mike Show.
Don and Mike Show. That was very...
professional, handsome.
Planet Crackpot.
No empty-headed ball busters allowed. The Don and Mike Show.
All right, let's get right over to Guy Burdley. Hello, Guy.
Hi, Don and Mike. Wouldn't it be something if CBS accidentally gave away the ending to Survivor after all its efforts to keep that secret? That's the observation of a Washington Post writer after an anti-Survivor website pointed out this possible mistake. And now you'll want to turn the volume down on me for the next 15 seconds if you don't want to know who might be the winner on Survivor.
Oh, it doesn't matter, Buzz, because okay. It's an erroneous report from the Internet and from a...
It could very well be.
From a girl, frankly, who writes the TV column in the Washington Post, who's really angry.
Oh, yeah.
All the time.
At everybody.
Yeah.
I mean, I read Lisa DeMorea, whatever the last name is, mm-hmm. and she just has a chip on her shoulder all the time about everything.
I know what she needs.
She needs a shot?
Yes, a shot of penicillin.
Well, that may be, but actually a number of newspaper writers around the country picked up on this story.
They just probably didn't pick up on it as angrily as she
probably
did.
Probably not.
And that's probably because it's the reputation of the Washington Post. That the Washington Post prints something and people in other newspapers go, hey, look at this. Hey, looky here.
Mm-hmm.
If the Washington Post is printing this, let's print this in the Sacramento Bee.
You know, I don't doubt for a second also that don't underestimate the sneaky CBS factor here where
right.
This might be an elaborate plan to get people talking about the show.
Why would CBS make this kind of mistake after spending the kind of money they've spent and the efforts they've gone to keep it secret?
They exactly. wouldn't, Buzz, and they haven't. But go ahead, say who they said.
Survivorsucks.com, the website, says it's Jervis. The website says it got the information from CBS's own site. On the page that shows the tribal council's voting history, all but one of the pictures are marked with a red X, the picture of Jervis. So is it a screw-up or a bid for even more publicity? CBS will only say, and I quote, we are allowing the press to run inaccurate information, end quote.
Yeah, smart for CBS.
There you go. They think they finally perfected a birth control pill for men. And this one appears to have no negative side effects. Previous pills for men caused acne or high blood pressure.
It's inserted rectally, isn't it?
No, I don't think so. I think it's oral.
Suppository, isn't
it's
it?
It's in suppository form.
A new pill developed by a Dutch company does none of that and is apparently 100% effective.
Dutch oven.
The pill is being tested now in Scotland, China, South Africa, and Nigeria.
Hey, get in my rectum! Oh, honey, all I have to do is take this small suppository and it's something in my bung, and now we can have safe, unprotected sex.
Oh, this is great. I tell you, it feels real comfortable up there. I understand they love it in China.
Oh, we do. Hello, fat bastard.
Hello, Chinese man. Get in my belly, wee man.
The results of the test will be out later this summer. A word is the pill for men should be available to the public in about 5 years. A pill for men has been harder to develop, they say, because it means stopping millions of sperm instead of just a few eggs.
Once again, let the guys do all the work.
Right. Oh, talk to Dr.
Natasha.
Right about that.
Right.
Yeah, with her big boobs on her website.
So you'd be liking the X-Men, are you? Even the movie studios blown away.
Loved it. Nope. I mean, Buzz...
Yeah.
Loved it. Not one complaint. True to the comic book, yet good enough where someone like Mike, mm-hmm. who doesn't like comics, right. would go in and would say, wow, a fantastic movie. Great special effects. Really believable plot.
Good story.
Yeah, good story.
Mm-hmm.
And in places, mm-hmm. kind of funny. I mean, I loved the X-Men.
Good.
I loved it.
Studio officials say they would have been ecstatic with $40 million over the weekend, but X-Men did $57.5 million on its first weekend. Scary Movie was second with just over $26 million. Perfect Storm third with $17.5 million. The Patriot was fourth with $11 million. The Kid came in fifth with $10.5 million. So, a big weekend for movies in general, with all of the top five movies making over $10 million apiece.
Can't recommend that X-Men enough. Kicks ass.
How long is it, roughly?
Not even 2 hours.
Perfect.
Yeah, it's great.
All right. Chicken Run, Irene, Big Mama's House, Gone in 60, and Shaft round out the top 10.
You know what? Hold on.
Okay. Oh, you're going to get another review.
Yeah, let me get, not from Bart, because
right.
of course you love these, a 15-year-old boy.
Mm-hmm.
I think even my wife liked it.
Have you discussed it in detail with her yet?
No.
Mm-hmm.
The only discussion we had was when we were leaving the theater last night when she said to me, what'd you think? And I said, outstanding.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, she's always waiting for any complaint that I have. When we come out of the movie. Yep, are they not there?
Rebecca Romijn Stamos, with the painted-on blue suit.
Yeah.
Not exciting?
That whole part was wasted on me.
Sorry to hear that.
I mean, she's hot and all.
But frankly,
there's more stuff going on in the movie at that time when she's in the movie.
That's the Australian guy with the side.
The Wolverine?
Yeah.
He's excellent.
Mm-hmm.
He's really good.
I really do think he's going to be the next big thing.
I mean, he's really believable as Wolverine.
Mm-hmm. They say there's going to be a follow-up movie with him.
Good. And Jean-Luc is fantastic also.
Picard.
As the handicapped guy.
Mm-hmm.
The crippled guy.
The crippled Dr. X.
Is he kind of was there any Jean-Luc in it, or?
Of course. Yeah. You know, the guy can't do anything without being Jean-Luc Picard.
It's the closer.
No, she's not there. I think she would tell you she enjoyed it also.
Yeah, fair enough.
I liked it. My wife liked it. My son liked it.
Stossel hated it.
I don't know.
I don't know whether he did or not.
You know what? I think Stossel gave it good, like 2.5 stars.
Might have given it 3. He might have given it 3. Or I'm not. Was it a scary movie that he gave 3? I'm not sure.
Liked it. What did he give it on the bathometer?
He gave it 3 horny prisoners.
Dennis Miller says he doesn't plan to hog the microphone or be overly goofy in the Monday Night Football booth. Meeting with sports writers who've been critical and TV critics, Dennis says he won't shy away from the humor when he sees it, but he says it won't be a yuck fest either.
This is why Dennis Miller is brilliant, because
he's smart.
Dennis Miller isn't overly goofy. You know, he really isn't. I mean, you know, it's very cerebral and he's funny.
Oh, hold on, Buzz, let me interrupt you. The hotline's ringing. I bet it's my wife.
Hello?
Well, Bubba, did you just call us?
Yes.
Oh, sorry. The phone was in my purse, which was in the backpack, and we couldn't get to it.
What did you think of X-Men?
Oh, I liked it.
Mm-hmm. See, I told you.
Good.
She liked it, and she normally hates movies like that.
Mm-hmm.
No, I used to like to read comic books when I was little, and it was the same good kind of comic books. It wasn't just a bunch of blood and guts. It was lots of people with superpowers, and it was cool.
Yeah, it was nice. That's the best word you could use to describe it. It's cool.
Cool, man.
It's a cool movie.
All right.
All right, thank you, darling.
Well, good, Boo. That's what we nearly wrecked the car over, that question.
Well, that was an important question.
Okay. All right. Love you.
Love you, too.
Okay, bye.
See you in a while. Bye-bye.
There you go. That's good.
Cool.
Finishing up the Dennis Miller quotes. He sounds like a lady that might have been dealing with, talking to plumbers today.
Oh, yeah.
Plumbers with F.
Absolutely.
F's coming out of the sink.
Mm-hmm. Right. Actually, I think that's more my mother-in-law was dealing with that today.
Oh, that's right.
Because we all came back together.
I wouldn't want to talk to her. She'd sound upset.
I'll call her tomorrow.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Quoting Dennis Miller, I watch football as much as anybody. I can comment on a game. I'm going to try to be an integral member of a 3-man crew talking about a football game. I can do that. It's football. I've never played the game, but it's not like I'm going to be on the medical channel. Dennis Miller makes his debut on Monday Night Football on July 31st.
You know, Buzz, I've said all along, and it certainly is not the same thing, the fact that I do the Redskins pregame show, as Dennis Miller being on Saturday Night Live.
There's a parallel.
And then being on Monday Night Football.
Mm-hmm.
But it's much the same thing. You know, you don't have to have played the game to be able to sit on your ass and figure out what you like and what teams are doing and to interject a little humor into it.
And if anything, and I think I've read this in the pro-Dennis Miller columns, you're going to interject something that is not the standard cookie-cutter crap that there's way too much of, of getting the ex-jock in there giving the same tired analysis. I think it's going to give it a shot in the arm. And it's the same thing when you hear pregame shows on other football networks where it's just that same kind of stuff, where you bring a lot of this show and what we do on this show into the pregame show, which is just fun. It's different, and that's why it makes it more listenable.
And, you know, I hope Dennis Miller finds out what I found out, that after I did the Redskins pregame show for a couple of years, people actually started coming up and saying, you know what? At first when you started, I really hated it.
Right.
But you know what? You really do know football. And to be honest with you, I don't know any more football than Mike does or Johnny Cage just walking by the window would know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's the big charade.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to be a freaking expert to know about football. We all sit on our asses. We all watch it. We all comment when we watch the games.
Right.
Hell, how many times during the season will there be a game on, and I will call you, or you will call me, or not even sitting in the same room, and we call each other and go, did you see that?
Yeah.
Do you believe that?
And it's taking the moments in the game and that's why I'm looking forward to Dennis Miller. He will take the moments in the game when you would call me, and he's going to make them more fun to watch. As a matter of fact, you're going to hope and pray that there are more moments like, you know, the Ditka moments on the sidelines that he can comment on. I think that's going to make it much more enjoyable.
Finally, there will be somebody in the booth
who watches the game mm-hmm. like the regular guys at home do mm-hmm. to say, you know, what kind of an idiot is Bill Cowher?
Absolutely.
What the hell is he doing there?
You know, one of the things that I notice about football in particular, you get SportsCenter, ESPN SportsCenter, where they really have a lighthearted approach to sports a lot of times. You get funny lines about that. And then you get the Fox NFL show, which is kind of irreverent. But when you come down to, like, analysis, it's the same stuff. It's the same stuff all the time. And what I don't like is to hear the repetition of big game analysis, which you get all the time. And I love shaking this thing up, I think, is the best thing that could ever happen to the NFL.
And you know what? No, as soon as before I say it again, he's going to be the best. When you have a game where the score is Tampa Bay 35,
absolutely,
New England nothing, mm-hmm. going into the second half,
right.
You're going to stay tuned because you're going to want to hear Dennis Miller tell you mm-hmm. what a piece of crap game it is
right.
that we are all still watching.
I'm really looking for it. It's so deep. You know, I read a column from some guy that's a sportscaster who was slamming him. And, you know, you've seen a lot of these sportscasters, the old guard establishment. It's sour grapes and jealousy, really.
Sure.
A lot of these guys that are slamming them. And I love it. When you start reading a lot of people saying, oh, this is, I don't know why they're doing this, that's when something good's going to happen.
Mm-hmm. It's going to be excellent.
A good sign. Hillary Clinton denies that she once called a guy an effing Jew bastard.
Oh, no, and I know who did.
No. A new book by a former National Enquirer reporter says Hillary did just that the night husband Bill lost the 1974 congressional race in Arkansas. The book says she was referring to her husband's campaign manager at the time. Hillary denies that. She says she may have called the guy a name. She says she never uses ethnic slurs. Bill Clinton backs her up on this. They both say it's just dirty politics as Hillary continues her run for a New York Senate seat.
You know, don't you think really that, I mean, if she had come out and said that a week ago, it would be relevant. Mm-hmm. But to pull something that was said,
yeah.
25 years ago.
And it's dirty politics. I mean, there's a machine up there, you know, in New York that is, they are really just trying to, they know that Hillary Clinton is going to do well in the Jewish community in New York. She's going to do very well. And they are doing everything in their power to chip away at that. Hey, man, that's supreme dirty.
That appears to be so transparent.
Right.
You know, that even if she did say that, and I think nobody alive, no matter what race, color, creed you are, there's none among us perfect enough to say that in some moment of anger or some moment of stupidity, mm-hmm. we've never said anything about somebody else like that.
It's amazing.
You know, and they're going back 25 years?
Sure.
To find what she called some guy a stupid Jew bastard?
1974.
You know.
The alleged target of the ethnic slur and his wife both say they remember the incident clearly, that she did say that.
I'll tell you right now, Alan Limewand is a stupid Jew bastard.
Oh, God.
He's our general manager. That was a joke, everybody.
Joke.
See, 24 years from now,
when you're running for Senate in New York,
someone will come back and right. throw that at me.
Right.
Someone mm-hmm. will say, do you remember what you said about your general manager, Alan Limewand?
You'll be a 65-year-old politician.
I never said it.
You said it, sir. You said it, sir. Mr. Geronimo.
Sam. But listen, we're not on the air.
Right. Well, we're not on the air.
We're not on the air. This is Peter Jennings.
David,
we are on the air.
Oh, duh. Feed.
Democrat Al Gore has decided he won't go to or support a fundraiser set for next month during his party's national convention.
Hey, Buzz, hold on. You got more of this politics stuff? Hold on. We have to squeeze a break in here before the end of this hour with the network.
All right.
We will be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Come now, you speak as if they were a gaggle of slack-jawed yokels.
Saints of Cheers. Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
I was just having a little fun. That break was a little disjointed getting back.
Mm-hmm.
That, you know, I'm not even going to get into the whole argument today, but the station in Sacramento just took us off
right.
after 4 hours,
right.
which is, on one hand, an improvement,
right?
Yes. Because they have been taking us off.
About
after
35.
Yeah, after 3.5 hours.
About 3:35 East Coast time.
So we have all kinds
West
of listeners
Coast, West Coast time, sorry.
Calling in from Sacramento saying, hey, they took you off. I called the request line of KHTK, mm-hmm. and Grant Napier, the tool who's on after us, is answering the telephone and hanging up on people
by saying, Grant Napier runs this station, Don and Mike don't.
Oh, God. Oh, so, man.
What I did, right as we were coming back, and this is why we're a little disjointed there getting back, I apologize. I called the request line of the station.
Right.
And the guy answered the phone, not the disc jockey, a screener. He said, KHTK. And I said, I want to talk to Grant. And he said, who is this? I said, this is Billy.
Billy.
He said, what do you want to talk about? I said, the Kings. He said, where are you calling from? I said, Modesto. He said, do you want to say anything about Don and Mike? I said, no. He said, come on, tell me. Do you want to say anything about Don and Mike? And I went, no. And then he just hung up on me.
Oh, my God. A little paranoia there.
So they must be deluged right now.
Sure.
So what I'm going to do is give out this phone number. and I know that although a lot of our affiliate stations are not with us now,
right.
I do know that in some of our biggest markets, we are still on.
Very good.
And I urge all of you for the next 3 hours to call area code 916.
Mm-hmm.
339-1140. Now, you got to be careful because they know that people are going to call and try to get on this guy's show and say Don and Mike should have the next half hour.
Right.
So you got to say you're from Sacramento or you're from the Bay Area, you're from Modesto.
Mm-hmm.
You got to come up with some stupid sports topic that you want to talk about.
Absolutely. Like, interleague play.
Right, you really got to sell it. Or the Raiders' chances this year.
Right.
The Sacramento Kings in free agents.
Sure.
The San Francisco Giants, Barry Bonds hitting home runs.
Bingo.
You know, let's just start the assault on this guy. area code 916-339-1140. That is the station's request line.
Oh.
But for goodness sakes, be sneaky about it.
Gotta be sneaky to get through.
Right, be sneaky.
Absolutely.
I'm calling on some of our sneakiest, most devious callers right now.
Have some fun.
To see if they can pull that off for us.
Right.
Let me see if people are heeding the call. thank you.
Excellent. Thank you, folks.
Thank you, everybody.
Nice job.
Because I know that this guy's show is not so white hot,
right,
that the phone is constantly busy because I've just been calling it myself during the commercial set and getting through like 100 times in a row.
And it's absolutely true. And people have been calling us to say they got through all.
And when you call and you finally do get on the air with this guy, after you bait him into a conversation, just say, 4 to 4:30 belongs to Don and Mike.
There you go. And that's all you have to say. And 4 to 4:30 belongs to Don and Mike.
That's it.
It's a good way of, do it a little rolling along. I tell you, I was always wanted to know, I was watching Barry Bond. 4 to 4:30 belongs to Don and Mike.
916-339-1140. That's the number. And we thank you.
Thank you very much.
Now back to you, Buzz.
Well, I don't normally go in for the politics as usual stories, but I'm going somewhere with this. Democrat Al Gore has decided he won't go to or support a fundraiser set for next month during his party's national convention. The fundraiser is aimed at registering voters and supporting Hispanic candidates. Gore won't be attending, perhaps because the fundraiser is being held at the Playboy Mansion. Word is the bunnies won't be there either, but Al will be in his distance nevertheless.
That's pretty smart, Mo.
Well, you can scratch the part about till death do us part. In Florida, the Supreme Court has ruled that a divorced man has to pay alimony to his ex-wife, even though she's dead.
That is not fair.
That is horrible. The wife of Eugene Gaines died shortly after their divorce was declared final. Eugene filed for divorce 4 years ago after 14 years of marriage. But the divorce battle went on and on, including the fight over alimony. The case has finally been settled, with Eugene now owing over $6,000 to his ex-wife's estate.
Here's what Eugene had to say.
If there were no Matt Damon, no Ben Affleck.
He's a very, very complicated man.
And I had to take the beasts over to the in-law's house before I went to the golf course.
Eugene.
There he is, Eugene.
They're going to blow.
Oh, wow.
All right, Eugene.
Outspoken.
Gotta hate them.
Yeah.
You must be talking about the attorneys.
Billy, you might want to check it out.
Oh, yeah. Maybe he's talking about his new squeeze.
It's hard to live the straight, sober life.
Especially after that room. Eugene.
Hold on, Ben. Mm-hmm.
Call a little phone number right now?
Yep.
Yeah, the one I think you're calling?
KHTK.
There you go.
Still busy. Good job, folks. Beautiful.
There you go.
Right now, this punt sitting there going, man, I'm hot. Look at those phones, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, come on. Let's talk about interleague play. Let's talk about Mike Piazza getting hit in the head by Roger Clemens.
I run this station. Don and Mike don't. There you go. Yeah. All right.
Hey, Buzz, let me just see if anybody's called him.
Okay.
I see all of our lines ringing also. Hello, Don and Mike show.
I have a 800 number for KHTK also.
Oh, sure. What is it?
It's 1-800-920-1140.
All right,
also
thank you.
Line.
All right, thank you. Hi, Don and Mike show.
Hi. I just wanted to call and report that I'm in Sacramento, and the show cut off at 5 minutes to four here. I don't know if that's still an issue.
That is, as Don mentioned before, that's longer than they have gone with it, but it's still not what we want.
Okay, yeah, Grant Napier's still on the air.
Yeah, we're mounting an attack. What you should do is listen to his show tonight.
Uh-huh.
Because we're urging our listeners to call area code 916-339-1140
uh-huh.
and get the message across that 4 to 4:30 belongs to Don and Mike.
Is it? Who is this?
This is Don and Mike.
Yeah, this is the show?
You dope?
Yeah.
Moron. What do you think, we're talking to you during the commercials?
Well, where's Mike?
I'm right here. I just said you moron.
Oh. Okay, well, I don't get the show, and I'm sorry we don't get the whole show.
Oh, please. Please. Hello, Don and Mike show. Hello.
Hello.
Hello, you're on the air.
Oh, thank you. Is it Don or Mike?
Yes.
Yes?
Yes, it is. Yes.
Do you know that here in Sacramento that they cut you off?
You know, I hate to say this, but, you know, we're getting his audience now.
Yeah, right.
We really are. We're
right.
Getting, we really are, and you can tell it's like a light switch. We'll try that again. Stop.
There you go.
Still busy. Good. All the members of the KISS Army doing their jobs right now.
Yeah, we send you our love.
Beautiful. We do thank you. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Yeah, speak to Don and Mike, please.
I'm still waiting to hear from somebody who actually got through
right.
and got the message. Hello.
Hi, this is Ed from Sacramento.
Yes, Ed.
Hey, they're slamming you, old Grant, whatever his dumbass name is.
Well,
he's talking about how they really run the station, how they start on time at 4 o'clock, and how they run the station.
All of this is very interesting.
Mm-hmm. Very interesting.
He goes. The managers, the people that run this radio station are very competent. No one else runs the station, and I think you know what I mean. But no one else runs the station, but
the people
that are here.
But he's not mentioning names, huh?
No, he's not mentioning any names, but he's sure making some.
Whatever. All right, thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Another one that's listening to him. Bye-bye. Hello, Don and Mike show.
He really squeezes all your brain juice out when you listen to that show.
Hello.
Hey.
I'm trying to get to Grant. Sorry, I dialed the wrong number. I love you. I'm sorry. I'm trying to be with you, but I accidentally dialed your number.
Right. Grant. Thank you. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Every time, Don and Mike.
Yeah. Boy, we've really hit the vein here.
We really have. Is this from Sacramento?
Yes, it is.
Mm-hmm. Yes?
No, it's not.
Oh, where are you calling from?
I'm calling from South Carolina.
South Carolina?
Yes.
What can we do for you?
I was thinking, you should tell the people if they can get those guys on tape, that would be better.
Okay, whatever.
Thank you. Thank you for that that wonderfully informative call.
Thank you, freaking hillbilly. Jesus Christ. Go have sex with your sister. Buzz, gotta do a break.
Uh-huh.
No more of this foolishness. Be back with more news right after this.
This is the Don and Mike show.
The Don and... And... We're dry.
Dry?
We're dry.
Dry idea.
We're totally dry. Now we're not dry.
Broadcasting with an extra stitch for your pleasure. The Don and Mike Show.
Again, sorry. He's trying to figure out what we're going to do with Sacramento tomorrow.
And trying to figure out where the Gribblies are in this new control room.
Let's go right back to Buzz. Hello, Buzz.
Hi, Don and Mike. Jesus was a communist, according to Cuban President Fidel Castro. The Catholic-educated leader says that's why Jesus chose fishermen to be his first disciples.
Huh?
Castro, a former atheist, was talking to a group of lawmakers about the fishing industry when he said this, according to Reuters, and quoting his brother, who's second in command of the Communist Party in Cuba, that's why they killed Jesus, for being a communist. And there you have it.
There you go. Thank you, Fidel. Beautifully said.
Excellent. When's he going to, you know, die?
It would seem soon.
I mean, how old is he? Isn't he like 80 years old now or
at
what?
Least.
Come on.
Kathy Lee Gifford says she'd be pleased to be invited back as a guest on the morning TV show with Regis.
Don't count on it, you cunny.
She is already starting to hate her life after the fact.
In an AOL chat last week, Gifford said, and I quote, "It would be my pleasure to come back. I hope they'll ask me. I'm
real party down at Tavern on the Green, just getting bombed. Strippers, whores.
And I like Mary Lou Henner as the replacement. Yeah, I really, really do. If they go ahead and do that, I think that would be a fantastic move. You've got a little, you got a better body right there.
Party hats. We just all crazy. And instead of having a one of those big things that hangs from the ceiling that spells out happy birthday,
right.
Say, goodbye, C.
There you go.
Kathy Lee's last day is a week from Friday.
And as it turns out, we'll be in New York that day.
Fantastic.
Next Friday, we just might have to send a crew over to cover that.
I think it'd be wonderful. And then, of course, have our own tribute.
Yes.
Next time you step up to a urinal in New York or Los Angeles, don't be surprised to see comedian Norm MacDonald staring you in the face.
Yeah, how you doing? Shake it.
Saying something like, "Oh, my God, look at the size of that thing." Hundreds of high-tech urinal billboards are being posted in those cities to promote Norm's sitcom on ABC. Other recorded comments, recorded by Norm for the billboards, say, "You're a mover and a shaker, and so am I," and, "Hey, watch your shoes." ABC's yellow advertising background will be captioned with the words, "Another fine use for the color yellow."
You know, that's about as dumb as the Cavs in New York.
Oh.
What was the one we heard Friday night?
Bernadette Peters.
No, we heard another one.
Oh, Chris Rock.
Chris Rock, right, we get the Cavs. You hear, "Hi, this is Chris Rock. Please don't forget to fasten your seatbelt."
I mean, just cheesy. The one I hear the most is that classical music, Yo-Yo Ma. I hear Yo-Yo Ma more than anything else. "This is Yo-Yo Ma. Don't do what I did. Please remember your belonging when you get out of the cab." And I'm like, shut up, please.
Well, apparently the days of TGIF are over. An ABC executive says the audience will understand when we're done that Friday is an adult night of comedy. Now that you've had your safe and sane firecracker day, watch out for those exploding diapers. In Texas, somebody left a dirty diaper in a plastic sack on a plastic chair on the patio of an apartment complex. It sat there for days with the sun blazing down upon it. The outside temperature soared to over 100 degrees.
Did the name on the mailbox say Ardinger?
Inside that diaper bag, enough heat to cause the diaper to burst into flames.
So Clemente, the late years of Stan the Man, Tony Oliva, Richie Allen, the power of Killebrew, Al Kaline, the pitching brilliance of a Sandy Kovacs, Don Drysdale, Juan Marichal, the curveball of Camilo Pasquale, Whitey Ford, Bob Gibson, Denny McClain. You can think about all of them. It was also a time when we saw the great Yankee dynasty finally come to an end after the 64 loss in the World Series to Bob Gibson in game number 7. A time late in the 60s when the new names started to come forth. Reggie Jackson, Johnny Bench, Bobby Bonds, Willie Stargell, Mike Schmidt. But when you think back, you think to those early times in baseball, and you get to relive it a little bit tonight when it was a game part 3. A very different game than we see now in baseball. Baseball's changed, continues to change. Too many teams, too much money. Take a walk back. Take a real walk back tonight. For Sports Time, Mike Francis for the CBS Radio Network.
John and Mike on KFH is brought to you in part by Priscilla's, where fun and fantasy meet on the web at priscillas.com.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Now, back to the Don and Mike Show on Hot Talk 1330 KFH.
All right, so what these fellas do? Cheat at cards? Steal some strays? Spit on a rich fella? What?
No, they cut up a woman.
What?
Yeah, cut up her face, cut her eyes out, cut her fingers off.
Everything's her cunning, I suppose.
Enjoy their
dagger.
That's right.
And all of her rubber band secrets available on the web are thanks to her.
Oh, I'm sorry. That's not working. I was going to ask Rob for something. Where's my bottle cap, Rob?
Las Vegas style show. A week from Wednesday, we will be at Club... Anybody?
Element.
Club Element. Thank you.
Element.
Cross the street from MTI Center in D.C. Big free show. Want to see you there next Wednesday night.
the return of the showman known as Dennis Murphy.
The showman.
The underwear fashion show, the nude feud,
yeah,
and the debut of Species of the Species.
You got it.
Wow. All of that next Wednesday night in a gigantic free show. Go to clubelements.com for more information. Now, call 100 time. Hello, Don and Mike.
Hi, I'm calling 100.
Yes, you are.
All right.
What is your name?
Kelly Paul.
Hi, where are you from?
I'm from Arlington, Virginia.
Call 100 and you have won the Nick at Night prize pack. It's a 3-hour block party every night at 9 Eastern, 8 Central, make it night all summer long. Lucy Sunday, Andy Monday, Gilligan Tuesday, Hillbilly Wednesday, Brady Bunch Thursday. Enjoy and thank you.
Thank you.
Oh, and tomorrow we're going to get things figured out with the station in Sacramento.
Good. Very good.
One way or the other.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Absolutely. If you have a funny phone bit for this show, simply write it down, send it to us, and we will send you $200.
That's right, especially if you're an actor.
That's how we do it. So we got to go. We'll see you tomorrow with a new episode. Thank you. Good night, Buzz.
Thank you. And good night, Don.
Thank you. Good night, Mike.
Thank you. Good night, Don.
And Robbie.
Hi.
Hi there. Please throw your Santa Claus hat in the air. That's right. Sydney. Tyler Moore.
You might just make it after all.
Oh, yes. That was a thing of beauty.
Oh, that was a good move.
See you tomorrow, everybody.
Bye-bye, everybody.
Bye-bye.